This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Garble Mae West, Lucille Ball. They put the SPQ Maxim to the test, and we remember them one and all, yeah!
You're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM and KPFT Galveston 89.5 FM.
Everybody's fighting on with each other. You go following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
It's 2 o'clock on the East Coast, 11 p.m. on the West Coast, and somewhere, someone's having a traditional nooner. But it's 1 a.m. in the throbbing heart of the Montrose, so it's time for After Hours.
Queer Radio. Oh, Queer Radio with Attitude.
Who the hell played a cassette?
Who knows?
Not I.
Anyway.
Anywho.
You are.
Chris.
Me.
You are.
I don't know, I can't find my ID. I'm Chris Harrison. I'll be your
co-executive producer.
Oops, I broke the seal.
Oh.
Not that one, people.
Hey, yeah, that condom will never be the same.
The hymen is intact on his microphone.
I like the other microphones in the production studio. They look nice.
Well. And I'm Jimmy Carper. I am the other co-executive producer. Welcome to After Hours. We've got a pretty packed show tonight, actually. We've got an After Hours quickie here tonight.
Yeah, we got half the quickie. The first group, we've got one person. And the second show, we did last week.
Okay, and then Hatch is coming on.
Yeah.
And we don't know. We know that at least one member of Hatch is here.
Hey, what a wonderful... I'm not going to go...
Yes, and then the second half of the show...
Bad boy.
Second segment of the show...
Was last week.
What was going to be this week, isn't it?
No, we did Binet last week with Gigi.
We did something with Gigi, but tonight is going to be, I believe, the first segment of the By Night with David and Robin.
Guess what? You heard it here first, and so did I.
Gigi is going the way of pagans and fairies and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know?
What you talking about, Willis?
Sometimes I wonder.
Yes, I know. You weren't at that rehearsal, were you?
Apparently not.
Well, I'll have to invite you the next time.
You missed that memo?
Anyway, things going on in the community. Well, today, because it would be technically Sunday, it's still Saturday for everybody listening because they haven't been to bed yet. But Sunday, August the 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the BRB 2400 Brazos is Daddy Don Dowden's Dynamic Dog Days of Summer Extravaganza. Join us for the 6th annual Dog Day Show benefiting the holiday PWA Holiday Charities. It's going to be fun, sick, and twisted. You won't want to miss it. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, with all the fun, sick, and twisted shows, I'd like to see someone kind of say, we're just going to do a normal show.
How boring.
Well, no, it'd be different for in here. You know, everything is all sick and twisted and perverted.
It'd be a bunch of lounge acts.
Yeah, I guess those bars keep going away, don't they?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Like Botox on a wrinkle.
There you go.
Of course, that depends on the type of lounge you do it on.
That's true. Let's see. What's going on at ICOH? Well,
I don't know. You got the paper.
Yeah, well, sort of.
I got the wrong year. First, I made them too strong. I put down 2005.
Oh, goodness. Well, coming on this week, of course, every Wednesday is the ICOH Jukebox Show at Mary's at 8:39-ish. And last week, it was actually a real jukebox show. And they played stuff from the jukebox, and people did lip sync with it. I've got what you want, and
yes,
you have just exactly what I want. Woo! That man is too hot. Just too hot. We're talking about Lisa's husband.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. They were talking about some hot guy on their show, and I came out. I'm like,
Woo! Yeah, he is.
No, he is. Their guest.
Yes, he is. Anyway.
What
I really want to talk about is the P&P Ball coming up, the Prince and Princess Ball. This is honoring the Crown Prince Royal, Jeff Wallace, and Crown Princess Royal, Rose Smith. This is kind of a formal affair where we thank them for all the good work that they've done during the past year. And it is there. Since it's a kind of a French theme this year, they have named their ball. It's called La Cage aux Fools. Why is he laughing uncontrollably?
I'm sorry, you're saying Daddy Rose and talking about her ball, and now you're saying that she named her ball. I spend too much time with Daddy Rose.
Yeah, she does have balls, all right.
Which one, right?
And you know that, you know, the twisted and sick mind I have.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, that's happening.
Sometimes I come with a normal mind.
That's happening on Sunday, August the 27th, the end of this month, at 1415 Bar and Grill, 1415 California. Doors open at 5 p.m. for munchies and festivities afterwards. Okay. Houston Area Bears Logo Contest is open to the public. The Houston Area Bears is seeking a new logo. The deadline, artwork must be submitted on or before September the 10th of this year, and logo design requirements. The logo must contain and or incorporate a bear motif, i.e. paw print, bear, etc. Must state Houston Area Bears in the design. HAB would be acceptable. No more than four colors. Must be submitted in a JPEG or a TIFF. At least 300 DPI minimum. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the porn that you usually download is a JPEG at 72 DPI.
Oh.
Okay. So they want a higher higher resolution file, and JPEG and TIFF are two of the standards.
Oh, okay. An email all designs. Yeah, okay. Well, whatever. You know, you should have been reading this one then. Email all designs to triad2@HoustonAreaBears.com. All designs submitted become the property of Houston Area Bears. Winner will receive a gift certificate to Bear Watch 8. Cool. And let's see, something else going on. Yes, Saturday, August the 19th. Fish that eye patch out of your booty chest, dust off that peg leg, and fluff the feathers on that parrot. In less than a month, oh, much less than a month, Queer Bingo returns with the theme, Queer Pirates of the Caribbean.
I was looking for the SpongeBob SquarePants CD.
Yeah, something like that. Prepare to walk the plank or mark your bingo cards on Saturday, August the 19th. Doors open at 5 p.m. and games begin at 6 at Club 1415. Boy, Club 1415 is really getting a lot of business here. That's because they're very kind to poor 501c3 organizations. The standard bingo game package for 10 action-packed games is $15. Game cards for additional special games are available for $1 each. Cash prizes range from $50 to $250, and door prizes are awarded throughout the evening. Excuse me. Club 1415 provides a cash bar.
As his voice finally starts to change.
Yes. Queer Bingo is presented on the third Saturday of every month by the Houston GLBT Community Center. Proceeds support the community center and its programs that serve our community. That's from Tim Brookover, who does double duty with the community center and as head honcho over there at Outsmart. Now, something going on even sooner than that. The Houston HIV Positive Gay Men's Social, Thursday, August the 10th, will be at the In-N-Out Bar, the new gay neighborhood bar in the Heights, located at 1537 North Shepherd. That's between 15th and 16th Streets, 7 to 9 p.m. For more information, call 713-426-5314. And that's about all the goodies I have for tonight. What have you got?
Angst.
Mr. Chris?
Why did I click on the Love One Out conference? I clicked the wrong button.
Boy, no kidding.
Okay, that's right. That was in Fort Worth, so we're not going to talk about that.
No, that wouldn't do our listening audience much good.
Another thing with the community center.
Yes.
The next quarterly meeting of the conference on Houston's Legibdit.
Glipped. GLBT.
GLBIT.
Yeah.
Put the I in there.
GL, gay, lesbian, intersexed, bisexual, and transgendered.
It's not even worth that much on the Scrabble board. I mean, the G's worth only two.
Yeah.
LGBTI Future Working Group is set for Saturday, August 12th from 1 to 3 at the Houston GLBT Community Center. This group, organized and hosted by the Community Center, began meeting in January to follow up on resolutions presented at the conference on Houston's LGBTI Future. You can review the final document. The resolution is about documenting the gay agenda edited by Phyllis Randolph Fry at the Community Center website, which is HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org, or the Pride Houston website, which is PrideHouston.org, or go to OutsmartMagazine.com and do a search in the January edition. The there'll be working group meetings. They'll be having presentations. For more information, you can contact Tim at 713-520-7237 or check out the Community Center website.
Okay.
This one's coming up, yeah. GCAM is presenting Jade Esteban Estrada, who will be performing the Houston premiere of his one-man show.
Tortilla. What?
Tortilla what? Tortilla.
Heaven.
Oh. It just says Tortilla Heave.
I've had that experience.
The very end there got cut off, I guess. Mm.
Yeah, this document here is a testament to KPFT. You know, we cut off the right.
Tortilla Heave, I like that. Tortilla Heaven.
GCAM, which preserves the history of our diverse community through collecting, archiving, displaying memories.
Memorabilia.
Well, I was just guessing because it says memer.
Oh.
Screw it. I want to read what it says. If you people can't put out a proper press release displaying memer of the GLBT world and its beneficiaries of this incredible show, it is an honor to have Jade back again. He is a staunch, fortunately you had a cut right, staunch supporter of GLBT history everywhere.
He certainly is.
This is going to be on...
And what kind of event is it?
It's a tortilla. It's a one-man show, Tortilla Heave, on Tuesday, October 3rd, 8:40. It's a one-man show, Tortilla Heave. I was getting to that.
Oh, okay.
I figured it'd be nice if I tell them what day.
Well, I guess so.
And, you know, I had to find it. You know, that's why it's even... Creef, you didn't even get your exclamation. Who did this, Judy?
No, I did.
Oh, God. I guess I shouldn't talk there. I had a really bad misspell that I hope we can get corrected in time.
Oh, oops.
It's pretty bad when you make a misspelling on 150 plastic or steel cups you're getting printed.
Oh, ouch.
Ouch. That's what I get for declaring someone platinum.
Mm.
On Tuesday, October 3rd, 2006, Tortilla Heave will be occurring. Build your own fajita dinner. At 7:30, pre-show entertainment for your dinner enjoyment. Jade Esteban Estrada performing Tortilla Heaven. As it says, at 8:45 at 1415 California Street, the upstairs stage and bar. There'll be a winning raffle, silent auction tickets. They'll be announced by Jade. For more information, you can contact... Is that your phone number?
No.
Oh. I figured we wouldn't want to give that out. 713-692-8735 or send an email to chair@gcam.org. Tables are 100 for four. Four chairs for $100. This will include a waiter for your bar needs.
Mm.
GCAM, you can find them online at gcam.org, and you can pay by PayPal on there.
The table is a special deal. You know, the tickets are like $15, but if you like a table, then you get your own waiter built in with it.
I don't see $15 on here. I see a supporter.
Oh.
The tickets start at $25.
Do they?
Or no, is that not the tickets? That's... You know, I never believe I was going to say this, but where the hell's Judy when we need her?
I know. Tickets are $15. Trust
me. Okay, those are the supporter things. You can be a supporter, a friend, a host, a letter, or an angel. Gee, I wonder who came up with the title angel.
Screw you.
At least it's not platinum.
Actually, it was Judy.
So, yeah, I said, yeah, can I talk to Jimmy here?
Yeah.
Maybe he'll figure it out.
Yeah, I will. Let's talk to our guest.
He's probably going to do better than we did. One, two.
Good, hand him the sheet. Who do we have here tonight?
Wait a minute. We couldn't hand him the sheet because it's one of the few organizations he's not affiliated with.
Oh, okay.
What, GCAM?
Yeah. Actually.
No, I'm not. Not anymore.
Oh.
Wow, I'm not the only one that gets news bulletins on the air.
Surprise.
So, we have Colt 45s, and who do we have?
We have Falcon.
Hey, Falcon.
Oh. Yep.
Good to have you.
And I'm going to be wearing multiple hats today.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Well, you, like many other people, actually, Judy and I were talking about this in the car coming back from Galveston tonight. There aren't that many people who are doing a lot of double duty anymore. We're trying to think of, you know, who are the real leaders in the community? And I said, well, you know, our community is so vast that people get involved in one organization, and if you're not a member of that organization, you don't hear about it.
That's true.
But there still are a handful of people who are involved in many, and serve on boards of several different organizations, and you are one of them.
Yeah, I'm on the board of two organizations, mm-hmm. and I'm a member of three, really.
Yeah.
I'm on the board of the Colt 45s. I'm the treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also Houston Council of Clubs. I'm the treasurer.
Mm.
And I'm a member of ARESAS as count 22 mm-hmm. right now. So, yeah, three organizations. Keeps me very busy. That's why I have my trusty calendar right in front of me here.
Ooh, count. You're royalty.
Yeah, I'm a count.
Ooh.
You know, count inches very well.
Mm-hmm. I'm the lazy bastard of the group. I only have one.
But, yeah, and then I'm associate member of a few organizations, mm-hmm. The Misfits and the Fire Dancers in Dallas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do keep very busy between me and my partner. We're definitely every weekend either here in Houston or on the road to another city doing something.
Yeah, I know.
So this is one of the few weekends I'm actually in town. I was supposed to be in San Antonio for Ace Weekend, and we canceled it. And but, Jimmy, I missed you so much. I haven't seen you in like 2 months.
I know.
And so you were out the last time I was here, and I'm glad to see you back and feeling good.
Was he cop a feel again?
Yeah. But we're going to be talking about the Colt 45s first. And I know you always like to start out with, what is the Colt 45s?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do like to do that.
Okay.
Because, you know, we have our base group of people who listen every week,
mm-hmm.
but there are a lot of folks who just tune in every so often. You know, they're leaving a club or going somewhere or just going through the radio dial. And
okay, Chris just got up and left. Let's talk about
them. They don't catch us every week, so yeah, I'd like to.
Where I'm going, I can still hear the radio.
Oh.
But we don't want to hear you.
That's right. Oh boy, howdy. So tell me a little bit about Colt 45s.
Well, the Colt 45s is a 501c3 charity.
Mm-hmm.
We have three funds that we distribute money through. Our main fund
for who?
For, well, it's different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just serve the gay community.
Right.
It's just by chance that we started out as a gay organization back in the early 80s. We actually started out as a social group in 1976.
Right.
We just celebrated our 30th anniversary. Back in the 80s, we realized that there was a need for AIDS services in the city of Houston,
right.
because back then there was nothing. It was still called the gay plague.
The gay plague. The city wasn't doing anything, and the county was doing very little.
City, governments, you know, they just were not doing anything. So the Colt 45 stepped up to the plate and got the funds going, got the money coming in, asked people for charities, you know, got the grants, got the money coming in from just private donations.
Mm-hmm.
And started distributing it to people who are in need. So now we have three basic funds. We have the Stone Soup Fund, which we still give so much money every year to AFH Houston for the Stone Soup program.
Right, for meats and...
Well, now it's a voucher program.
Now it's a voucher? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it used to be a meat program,
right.
Perishable program, but now it's strictly voucher.
Okay.
Then we also have the Till Thacker Fund, which is a general purpose fund.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to fit within the same criteria as the AIDS Trouble Fund, which is our biggest fund that we really deal with.
Mm-hmm.
AIDS Trouble Fund, we serve people with full-blown AIDS who are in need.
And kind of like the last resort?
It's a last resort for housing, for rent and utility assistance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when they are in need, when their SSIs run out, life's challenges just pop up once in a while where you have to use your SSI for other issues.
Sure.
Especially in today's day and age where drugs are getting more expensive. And
you bet.
So unfortunately, we can't pay for drugs. That's what the assistance fund is for. But we step in to help with rent and utilities. It's a very important fund. We're going into the time of the year where people are going to start hitting us more heavily. Beginning of the year, governments now will disperse money to all the other agencies in the city. That money starts to run out right about now.
Yeah.
And now is when people start coming to us because their utility bills are too high because of air conditioning.
Sure.
Going into the holidays, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be strapped. And like you said, we are an emergency assistance fund. We're not a monthly assistance. We try to get people back on their feet. but we're not here to provide assistance every month.
Right. Emergency funds.
Yeah, it's strictly emergency, yeah. And we do have strict guidelines. We do ask that an application get filled out in its entirety. You can contact us for the application through our website,
mm-hmm.
which is colt45s.org. Colt45s.org.
Okay.
Yep. And that's probably the best way to contact it because you can download the application from there,
mm-hmm.
And fill it out, have your doctor fill out the medical part, send it in with all your required needs,
sure.
as far as your, we need a copy of your I hate to say it this way, but the CIPQY, which is your determination letter, your Social Security
yes.
determination letter, and your, hey, Chris, and your lease, and just different articles
just
that we
yeah.
need.
Yeah.
We look at it every Tuesday, determine if we can help you out or not,
mm-hmm.
and if we can, we send the check to your landlord or to your utilities, and you're all set for a month.
Good.
And speaking of the AIDS Trouble Fund, you know, we have a show coming up. It's Rose, Daddy Rose. We were just talking about her with ICOH
mm-hmm.
and the PNP ball coming up. She also does, she's one of our hardest working members in the Colt 45s. And she has a show coming up on August 25th. Yep, August 25th. It's called The Bare Bones Benefit. And the idea behind this show is you get one prop. And you can bring your own prop, but normally people get all dressed up, they're bringing all these different props, but her idea is you get one prop.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're down to the bare minimum. Just like our clients, when they are in need, they're down to the bare minimum.
That's right.
That's the idea behind the show.
Yeah. And this is an annual thing. She's been doing it for
this
several
is the
years, isn't it?
Third annual.
Yes.
Yep, and we're going to have food, ribs, is the menu this year, and from my understanding, it's actually going to be catered in.
Nice.
Yeah. And we're going to have a silent auction. She's
That's
got some really cool
yeah.
prizes coming in.
Good.
We're going to have the 50-50 raffle.
Mm-hmm.
Raffle. This will be at the Brazos River Bottom at 7 p.m. It's a Friday night this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that the BRB is opening up their doors
that
on Friday
nice.
Night. Yes.
That really is nice.
Yeah, so it's going to start at 7.
BRB is located at 2400 Brazos.
Yes.
Right behind Specs Liquor. You can't miss it.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
first you got to get me out of Specs Liquor. Beyond that, if people want to make a donation to us, of course, they can always contact us through the Colt 45's website.
Okay.
Once again, that's colt45s.org.
Yeah.
C-O-L-T-S.
Yeah, C-O-L-T-S. C-O-L-T-4-5-S.
.org. We do have one other thing coming up here. We do bartend. I think that was it. We
do
bartend.
Bartending. Which Sunday?
This month is going to be on the 20th. It's the third Sunday of every month. We do that at EJ's from 4 to 8 p.m.
Out on the patio bar.
Out on the patio. Come on out.
Yeah.
Say hi to us. We're more than happy to say hi back and give you a nice little drink. And
they have a bunch of really great regulars.
Oh, we do.
Hang out.
We do.
Yeah.
And it's like the. It's so funny because I've been doing it for so long. I didn't think I would get used to knowing everybody's drink by heart. Just, you know, I only do it once a month.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's amazing that, as they're walking up, I've already got the drink up to them. And
yeah.
they're going, gosh,
yeah.
you're good. I'm like, well, you know, you guys are here all the time. And
that's
we appreciate
right.
you a you whole
bet.
Lot. You know,
and so the tips all go to the Colt 45s.
Yes.
That's what it's
yep.
for. Ed Moniker over there at EJ's does that with his patio bar on Sundays, Sunday afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
He lets different organizations tend that bar, and all the tips
right.
that they make go to their organization.
Right.
And I think that's a really nice thing of him to do.
Yeah, Ed is a huge supporter of
yes.
all the organizations, especially the 501c3s.
Yeah.
He is just out there all the time saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we've ever gone to Ed and said we need, he's always said yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he's
and it's getting hard to book a show over there now. You know, different organizations have their fundraising shows over
yeah.
there. And
yeah. I mean, I think that's why you open up the other bar.
Yeah.
And then let me put on another hat here. We kind of talked about the Colt 45s, what we do, and why we do it. I'm going to put on another hat here and put on my Louis hat.
Yes.
And we have the
Louis, Louis being Let Us Entertain You
Let
Week.
Let Us Entertain You Weekend.
Yes, that's the weekend after Mardi Gras. When you just haven't had enough Mardi Gras and you need some more, you come to Houston.
Yep. Let Us Entertain You Weekend is let's just say it's lots of fun.
Yes, it is. Oh, my, it is. It, with lots of booze and lots of food and lots of
Friendship. Yes, friendship. That's the word for
exactly.
it.
Exactly, yes. People get very friendly during Louis.
Within limits. I am married.
Limits.
How can you say limits and Louis in the same sentence?
But, yeah, that's the first weekend after Mardi Gras. It starts on a Thursday. It's lots of fun. We'll talk a lot more about that as we're coming up. But one of our board members, our secretary, Robert Kahn, is the current daddy of Montrose.
Ooh.
And I know.
That's right. I was there when he got that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wasn't. I was disappointed.
Yeah.
I forgot where I was. Oh, I was bouncing between Waco and Dallas that particular weekend because I had a coronation in Waco and I had a, the fire dancers run up in Dallas.
Wow.
So I was like two hours between two cities bouncing back and forth all weekend. So that tells you how busy I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were up there and we missed the Daddy of Montrose. We were driving back actually that Sunday and we hit a rainstorm so we couldn't make it back in time. But Robert Kahn is the current Daddy of Montrose. I know he's got a show. I think it's just tentatively planned, but he's looking for to do a show on the 26th of August. It's going to be at Mary's. Not sure of the exact time, I'm assuming 7 or 8. And it's to benefit the SPRI program. SPRI is the seniors program through Legacy Health Services.
That's right. In about a year and a half, I'll be eligible.
I'm not too far behind you, David.
I've already had people trying to interview me. So,
really?
Well, you got to wait another year and a half.
Yeah.
SPRI is a senior citizen 60 and older.
I believe so.
Yes.
I'm not sure of the exact age of it. Tell you the truth, until just this year, I didn't even know they had the program, and they're getting a lot more visible in the community now.
You bet. You bet.
And that's really good.
And they're backed by the...
Legacy.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
It may be a joint effort between Legacy and the Counseling Center, because they...
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I really do need to check into this program. Like I said, it's something that is relatively new to me. And I like we've talked earlier, we are both very much in the community. And, you know, I've just learned about this program this year.
This is the first big boost that the Houston community has had to help the elders.
Yes.
In the GLBT community.
Right. And we're out there. Yeah, I'm getting close.
Yeah.
I got gray in my beard now, so I'm not too happy about that. It hasn't gone nowhere else, and you're not going to look.
That's why I shave.
But, yeah, he's playing a show on the 26th of August.
Okay.
Boy of Montrose contest is coming up on the 12th.
Yes, that's right.
At the Ripcord.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a late show. It should be at about 10, 10:30.
That's what I've heard.
But
Jerry DeWeese is
Jerry DeWeese.
Stepping down.
Yeah.
So all you boys out there, it's time to step up. You could be the new Boy of Montrose.
Yes, please enter if you can.
Mm-hmm.
I did forget one Colt 45 show. There is one coming up actually this coming weekend.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately, I get to miss it. That's probably why it's not in my mind at the moment. But it is this Friday at the BRB at 7 p.m. It's Colt 45s. We're working with the Pet Patrol, so we're trying to raise money for the Pet Patrol.
Okay.
We're kind of venturing out and... You know, in the past, it's always been us asking for money for us.
Right.
We're getting more into the community, and we're trying to help other organizations,
too. So is this a show put on by the Colt 45 or the Pet Patrol?
Interesting switch, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, usually
yes,
we have people put on shows for us, and now we're actually stepping up and putting on shows for other people.
Well, you know, it's we help each other.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Going back to the Louis hat, we do have... Spank Fest coming up.
Ooh, yes. I've been promoting it.
You have? Okay, well, yes. I'll let you promote that one. you know, I won't be there.
Oh, okay.
Not my cup of tea. I'm way too vanilla for that. And then I got another hat. Well, let's put on one more Louis hat. We got the PWA camp out coming up the September 22nd.
That's right. This year I am going to go.
You're going to go.
I'm
good.
I'm going to go.
Well, we're going to go on... The Colt 45s will be there on the 23rd, Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be serving lunch.
Ah, nice.
And we kind of came up with an idea for honoring a former PWA camper who passed away, Joel.
I know. Joel Eisenhower. Who was the kitchen bitch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, our lunch, I believe, is going to be Sloppy Joel's. And we're going to have depiled beans. So it's going to be a little bit of an honor of Joel memory, and,
good.
You know, we sure do miss him.
Good. We sure do.
I'm going to put on my Misfits hat.
Okay.
I am an associate member of Misfits, so I get to announce their big ball.
Yeah, that's coming up, isn't it?
No, I was just talking about their balls.
Well.
Yeah, they have their Misfits ball is coming up on September 10th. I do believe that some things are still secret, but I do want to at least announce that I do know that the location is set for numbers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yep. So, same location as last year.
Yes.
You went. It will be there again, and I believe it starts at about 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all the information I can give at this point. Just mark it on your calendars. The Misfits ball is there. You know, Misfits are very good about laying information out slowly, and they you know, like to try to give hints of
teases about
what their ball's going to be about.
Okay.
So I don't want to spoil it, and okay. I'll leave it up to them.
Fine.
But Misfits ball will be on September 10th.
Okay.
Finally, I get to put on my Aresis hat.
Yes.
And make a few announcements here.
Please do. I don't get enough information about Aresis yet.
We're more than happy to give. As a matter of fact, I talked to the Emperor and Empress, which is Didi DeMarco, mm-hmm. and Regent Emperor Ronnie Siebert.
Yeah.
They're hopefully going to be coming on the show more often.
Good.
We are, you know, I told them, I said, you know, they're going to work it out with you as far as getting their own time slot, or they could share the Colt 45s.
No, I have time slots available for them.
Third,
I'm
okay.
running them. Third and, yeah.
The third and fourth weekends?
No, second and fourth.
Second and fourth, that's right.
Second
yeah.
and fourth.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll let them know that.
You bet.
If you're listening, mark it on your calendar. Give Jimmy and Chris a call.
I have been wanting to have representation from Aresis for a long time on this show.
I'm it. For right now. I'll get them on here. But we do have some events coming up. We have a turnabout coming up, which
is... Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. No, oh, girls. For those of you who don't know what turnabout is and what Aresis is about, Aresis is a 501c3. And the best way I've always described it, you know, especially to my family, which they're like going, what do you guys do?
Yeah, it's hard to explain.
I always tell them, I said, well, think of a modern-day Renaissance festival.
Okay, that works.
That's probably the best way. I'm like, you know, we elect monarchs, and we have a whole court system, mm-hmm. but it's modern-day. It's not in the past. And so we're basically mimicking England and stuff and having our
own... A whole
own
different way to do that cannon shot, though.
Ooh.
But, yeah, that's basically how I describe it. And my mother's like, so, which one are you? I'm like, I'm a boy.
That's right.
So, but on the 19th, I get to be a girl. Turnabout is when we switch lines, where the boys become girls and the girls become boys.
Yes, for the evening.
For the evening.
Ooh.
And it's always a hoot because you get to finally see all those male line members all year long all of a sudden get in drag, and you get to say,
yeah.
let's get the females back real quick.
No kidding. No kidding.
And also you get to, you know, it's amazing how many people come up to me and they say, I didn't know that was her, because they look at the female line members out of drag.
Yeah.
And they're like going, I never recall ever seeing, and I get this a lot about Cheyenne.
Yes.
Know, people say that about Cheyenne a lot because they're like, okay, I never even realized.
It takes me a couple of times when I see Dee Dee out of drag.
Yeah.
Yeah, because without the wig, Dee Dee's 3 foot shorter.
Shorter, yeah.
Without the heels and without the hair, is like...
Yeah, he's a little short guy.
Yeah. A lot of people say that. You know, Dee Dee and Cheyenne are probably the two most popular ones that I get. Mm-hmm. That when people introduce them, like tonight, we were all in regular street clothes because we did a...
We're in drab.
Yeah. Well, we did a wig in a box show, basically.
Oh, nice.
Out of the box.
Yeah.
And that's where we just... We're not in makeup. We're not doing anything. We basically draw a number, whatever song comes up. If it's a female number, you grab up, run up and grab a wig and you put it on, you perform. It doesn't matter if you're male line or female line.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that quite often because it started out as a quickie show for the Colt 45's run. On Sunday, we wanted to do a wrap-up show and we really didn't have an idea. And Cheyenne came up with this and she's like, I really don't want to get in full face. And I'm like, okay, well, you don't have to. She goes, here's the idea.
Yeah.
And ever since then, the Colt has run with it and it's been quite successful. We've been doing it almost every weekend and it's been very successful and we're having just lots of fun with it. And we've been doing it most weekends at DJs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, but going back to it, you know, a lot of people just don't recognize the women outside of their makeup. So it's always nice to go to Turnabout and see the boys as girls and see exactly what the girls look like without the makeup on.
And when is that happening?
It is the 19th of August. It is only, what,
19?
About a week away? Yeah.
2 weeks.
2 weeks? What's the date today?
Today's the 5th.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Okay. It's 2 weeks away. It's at EJ's. I believe it starts at 8 p.m.
Oh, they all do. We're
they all do.
8:30, 9 o'clock, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, we're on gate time. Come on. It's eight-ish.
Falcon, thank you for being here. We kind of ran over on time.
Yeah, we have twice as many people here for Hatch as we did before.
Oh, good.
Good.
That means we have two. Anyway.
The number of hatchlings hasn't changed.
Chris has got some new music to put in your ear. It's a CD single kind of thing there by the artist is named Jimmy something. Chris.
Oh, I had it hidden.
Okay.
There's the name, see?
Yeah.
Jimmy Roland.
Uh-huh. And this is about, it's a song about gay marriage.
Oh, I don't want that. I don't. I do not want gay marriage because then I lose my single status tax filing, you know?
Yeah.
There is benefits to being single.
Yeah, my lover already said no. Mm-mm. Well, not going to happen.
You know, my partner would love to get, you know, we're kind of, you know, we play with the idea. I'm like, I still don't see a ring.
Exactly.
You know, he's on my insurance and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I have domestic partners insurance. So we're pretty well set. You know, we're going to go get our wills taken care of. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we kind of had a little scare just recently, you know, with a problem with that I had. I found out I had a lung infection a couple months ago. And kind of put a scare into us that we really don't have anything in writing.
Yeah.
You know, and the hospital was kind of giving him a little bit of hassle about coming back to see me. So if it wasn't for me, you know, basically, you know, throwing a card across the room saying, get him in here! So...
Well, Scott just needs to look better in drag.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because, you know...
I've seen Scott in drag.
Scott always, you know, when Scott does drag, he does something really outrageous and scary. And
it is scary.
He's got an idea already. I'm not going to say what it is because he'll shoot me already. But come out to the show. It's going to be hysterical.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Click. And this button.
I wanna be loved by you for the rest of my life, hand in hand by your side, till we grow old and die. It was meant to be that we'd be married.
Jimmy Roland, and the song is Partners for Life. If you want to find out more about him, check him out on the web at jimmyroland.com. And what the... Well, those people really screwed me over. They had it on repeat and continuous. Okay, well, it's just a tad too early, so I can't say it yet. But your mics are on.
Hello, world. I'm Travis.
I am Brendan.
And this is the Hatch segment. I'm the only hatchling here this evening.
I'm the adult facilitator for this segment.
Hatch is a service run by the Montrose Counseling Center for GLBTQ youth between the ages of 14 to 20. And anyone interested in attending Hatch...
Especially if you're interested in doing a radio show.
Right. I don't have the Hatch number, do you?
I don't have the Hatch number, no.
Go to www.hatchyouth.org, and that's where you can find out about
everything you need to know.
I knew you were looking at me for the number.
What would we do without Chris? Thank you, Chris.
Well, I was looking at this other picture of this guy's tattoo on his back. That
oh, cool.
Quite impressive. I'm not into tattoos, but it's beautiful artwork. I shouldn't really be showing it up during the Hatch show, but hey, they're not here. Hatch is 713-529-3590.
713-529-3590.
And there's a MySpace account for Hatch, I believe.
There is, but I don't know it off the top of my head. So this evening, Brendan and I are going to discuss outing people and where it's okay and where it's not okay and stuff like that. What sparked this is obviously Lance Bass, member of NSYNC, coming out of the closet. And I remember NSYNC. I was in like the third grade when they hit. Brendan, how old were you then?
I was never really a big NSYNC fan.
There's a shock.
I don't remember.
See, I was a teeny bopper. I was like 8. I have an excuse. Leave me alone. But there's an editorial in the Houston Voice this week that's actually written by the managing editor of the Washington Blade, who owns the Houston Voice, about whether or not this was really an outing, even. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of the celebrity gossip drama after Lance Bass showed up in several gay bars with another famous openly gay guy.
With Reichen.
Right. Is that how you pronounce it? Reichen?
I'm guessing there. I mean,
I don't know.
Reichen? Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at, you know, the first part of the name is Reich.
Yeah.
And in...
It's some guy who won the Amazing Race.
The German guy who tried to make the half naked calendar, and the publisher goes, "Oh my God, I can't do this," and told him to take your calendar elsewhere to print.
Oh, interesting. So, and some people are saying that he was outed, and then what this editorial is saying, no, if you go to gay bars several times with an openly gay person.
And you're both celebrities.
Right. You know, you're just kind of going to get a reputation.
And you're seen making out on the dance floor.
Okay.
I'm not sure they were, but I think straight people... I have straight friends who go with me to gay bars, and a couple of them go with me regularly. It doesn't necessarily mean they're gay.
No, but I mean, like, my twin brother is straight and goes with me to South Beach all the time, and people assume he's gay. And
he's there to look at the lesbians.
With that because what?
He's there to look at the lesbians.
No, he's there to pick up straight girls.
There are straight girls there.
Yeah.
My brother and I have a really evil practice where if we find a good-looking guy with a good-looking girl, we pull this whole, we're twins, he's straight, I'm gay. Yeah. It's healthy brotherly bonding.
How often does that work for you?
Oh, every time.
That's great.
Anyway, apparently game is genetic. So, but
let's tell everyone what outing truly is.
Outing is when you think or know that someone is gay, and you tell everyone.
Now, he did deny. His spokesman did come out after they were, he and Reichen were caught in the gay bar. You know, he said, you know, this is a private matter. Why doesn't the public, why doesn't they leave me alone and blah, blah, blah. And then a week later, he's on the front cover of People magazine.
With big, bold, bright, yellow letters. I'm gay. I'm going to say, he wasn't very original with that one.
he should have gotten into that crouch down pose that Ellen had. With the I'm gay.
Or he could have worn a shirt that said I heart dick, and I think everybody would have gotten it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
To all my little girl fans, bye, bye, bye.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
We played that last week.
Well, and, you know, I'm thinking, no big shock.
Yeah, the I mean,
he's in a boy band. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, Reichen doesn't get a, you know, because he outed us, he brought a celebrity out of the closet. You would normally get a bigger toaster oven, but you know, it's a member of a boy band. So you know, he's lucky he's getting a toaster oven at all for bringing him out.
So that's what outing is, and there are lots of people who have been outed. Jim Colby, who represents Arizona's 8th congressional district. Was outed after by the Advocate after he voted for the Defense of Marriage Act. Mm-hmm. When everyone knew he was gay, he was what's called a closeted, an openly closeted person, which I was just explaining to Brendan.
Yeah, I did not know.
That basically means everyone knows you're gay, but you still deny it.
Yeah.
And everyone just kind of goes, uh-huh, yeah, sure.
Well, in politics, it does get a little worse. I mean, you know, Barney Frank came out when his boyfriend was running a whorehouse out of his apartment.
And now we all know why there's no bookmarks in Washington, D.C.
Oh, God, click. Your mic's dead now.
Really?
You're going to bring back a joke that's older than you.
They like their pages bent over, what can I say?
This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston. And always on the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Thank you, Chris.
I had, you know, we got to do something that's compliant.
Right. So he was, they were both kind of outed. Who else has been outed?
George Michael,
yeah.
I mean, when he came out of the toilets. Well, he was arrested in the toilets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think he and the Barney case, Barney Frank case, yeah, are a little different because it's like being caught with porn. You know, well, okay, yeah, you're gay.
Yeah.
But Jim Colby, I would say, is an actual old lynch mob, yeah, style outing.
A lot more. I mean, outing was a lot a bigger issue in the late 80s.
Yeah.
When basically several of the gay organizations out there that were involved in the beginning of the AIDS crisis were trying desperately to find poster children and poster boys for, you know, this is the face of AIDS. Now, you know, You don't think he's gay, but he's gay and he's dying.
Right.
So there was a lot of outing like that, and that's where it really was nasty in the gay papers and with organizations like Queer Nation and ACT UP. That was part of their thing of saying, you know, here is the face of AIDS, you know, so don't use your usual, what you usually think is the person.
Right. I would say I disagree with outing. In general cases where someone's minding their own business and they're outed by someone.
I know somebody who came out, Ian McClellan.
No, we're talking about outing, not outing.
Oh, somebody who was outed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, that brings up an interesting little subtopic is right after the whole outing situation and the controversy around that around the 80s, then became manuals about how to out yourself. How to let people, a process of letting people know in your life and in public and letting them know that you're gay. It's just a little interesting little side note, but
yeah,
you don't hear about outings as much today as you did back in the 80s. For sure.
I'm back in 2004, there was a long string of outings by people who worked in Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, when it came out that Rick Santorum's chief of staff was gay, You know, and that's when I'd say I really start, the line starts to blur, because here's someone who's really working for the other side, mm-hmm. you know, and then is it okay or is it not? I don't know. It's sort of an ethical
Well, that's why, that's part of where the outing comes from, is that you're taking someone who's closeted for that, and you bring out the fact of the person is either opposed to it, you know, the self-hating fags like they did for Kyle.
John Kyle?
The congressman you just mentioned.
Jim Colby,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, John Kyle's a senator from Arizona.
Okay, I got the state right.
Yeah, that's good. You got the state right. That's impressive.
I've been without C-SPAN for a while, so. Jim Colby. The fact of he was a self-hating fag. He's working against gay issues, and so that's why he was outed as, you know, hey, this guy plays on our team, but he's throwing the game,
right? Exactly,
sort of thing. And you know, that's what they're doing now with some of the people you're seeing. Of, you know, you see these staunch Republicans, and there's this gay leaf in their family tree somewhere, and sometimes it's the person outing themselves. I mean, you know,
Michael Brock. He was a writer. He wrote lots and lots of anti-Clinton stuff. And then he came out and realized, wait, I'm a Democrat, and wrote a book called Blinded by the Right about how they really usurp people and brainwash them.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those issues that, like I said, fortunately not as prevalent. I don't think, like I said, in the 80s where it was about the age crisis, now it's all political of that, because homosexuality in certain circles, of especially on the Republican side, is such a hot button firebrand issue. I mean, I'm surprised Rick Santorum just signed a statement saying that he professes non-discrimination in the workplace.
Yeah,
in his own office.
Yeah. Another thing, there are several closeted politicians in this city. One who's what you would call openly closeted is his name escapes me. Okay. Well, there's an openly closeted politician that everyone knows about, and you know, his boyfriend once got a little drunk in a gay bar and stood up and professed, "My boyfriend's running for office."
That's
and
fun.
Gave everyone his phone number. Yeah, and so, I mean, it was the real deal. Then, you know, there's one guy who ran for office and didn't win that, you know, claimed, "I will support the federal marriage amendment." Well, dude, you're running for city council. I mean, I don't know if they'll really care.
And yeah.
Then, you know, not even 30 days after the election, I see him out in Montrose at 2:30 in the morning. And then I've seen him a couple times after that in gay bars. And I'm just like, whatever, man, you know.
Well, you know, when you look at a single issue there, I mean, gay marriage to some people.
Right. Well, I mean, this guy's married and really, really spent a lot of time on gay people in his race for city council. Yeah, I mean, there's something wrong in the head there.
No, it's that image. I mean, all about politics. Politics is all now is about image, how you can package and do that. You know, that's why when we talk about Lance Bass, you know, it's surprising there's not more gay members out there, because when you do the boy bands, you try and find the pretty boys to fit the different categories you need. He was the shy one that they had in that thing, and you got to get these pretty boys to go up there and dance. And it's amazing that he's the only boy band in America, boy band member that's come out.
I mean,
Europe has two, and they got married.
The whole thing about boy bands, though, is they're appealing to a young female audience.
Yeah,
and they're appealing to an audience that probably is too young to be exposed to that kind of topic.
And that's why
some people say, my niece, who is, oh God, I'm a terrible uncle, 10, about to be 11, used to proclaim she was going to marry Lance Bass. And, you know, we haven't told her because she's 10, you know, and I'm just going, well, maybe I will now. But, you know, I understand why he didn't come out.
Yeah,
I do I'll too. Give him that. You know, he had a responsibility to his four bandmates, and it really may have killed his career.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't an actor. He wasn't, you know, a solo singer appealing to a different
demographic. Yeah, he didn't try to go solo.
They were appealing to elementary to middle school age girls.
Yeah, I mean, he's only done... When I was looking up stuff with that, I think he's only been, like, in one movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was, again, it was like a teeny bopper movie. It wasn't a serious film.
He was awfully young when he was in, is it NSYNC?
Yeah.
He was pretty young, so he was probably still figuring all that out. In fact, he may have even come to the realization, I don't know the story, but it may have been during that time he was in NSYNC that he realized he was gay.
He says he's known his whole life.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. No. See, I mean, he was 79 and NSYNC. Actually, he has a little bit more acting than I thought. But then again, it's so funny. He's openly gay, and then you look at some of the programming he's been in. He was on Touched by an Angel. He did a voice once. He was on Seventh Heaven.
Oh, definitely gay. sorry, Touched by an Angel, Seventh Heaven. You just
he does voiceover work on a lot of it. He's done voices on Higgletown Heroes.
I don't know what that is.
Kim Possible.
Right, again, but like, Kim Possible, it's a cartoon. You know, again, he's still appealing to a demographic that,
I mean, he
gay or not,
he doesn't
really.
I mean, they've got 12 different television shows that he was a part of, and like one of them, Saturday Night Live, that he was performing. That was back in 2000, so he was 21 then on that. But, you know, and a singer for Pokemon.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and he's soon going to be on the show Inked.
Hmm. Oh, I like
it. Says it's in post-production, so apparently you'll see maybe him with the shirt off getting a tattoo.
Maybe it's a pink triangle, who knows? Or his boyfriend's name.
Yeah. Oh, and he was on Robot Chicken.
Robot Chicken?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what it is.
Adult Swim.
Oh, okay.
It's twisted.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, he has more than I thought that he's to fall back on, but...
Aren't they talking about a TV series they're going to develop around him?
Yeah, he's...
Where he's going to be playing a gay character?
The Odd Couple.
It's a remix of The Odd Couple, and he'll be, unlike Tony Randall, he'll be playing an openly gay character on The Odd Couple. And Joey Fatone is going to play the Oscar character.
Which, you know, if you were looking to drum up publicity about your new TV series, this certainly would be a way to do that.
Yeah. Kind of a coincidence, yeah.
That's
true. It, you know.
And I mean, once he announced he was going to star in this particular sitcom, then the rumors would start flying and all the speculation would be in high gear. So, and if you are truly gay, then why not just come out? Especially if you're going to play a gay character on a TV show.
Yeah, and I think NSYNC is supposed to be coming out with a new CD soon. Oh, yeah. He has a nickname of Scoop. Not sure if Reichen gave him that or not. But.
Okay, anyway. But I really like what the things that the author in this editorial says. It's, you know, it starts out with, poor Lance Bass, you really have to feel sorry for those downtrodden millionaire celebrities who crave publicity and attention and then cry foul when people talk about anything other than the latest pet project they're hawking. And, again, if you go out to gay bars with a gay man, time after time after time, there's going to be speculation.
And you're walking arm, you know, just going into it, no. If you're walking in arm together, and you're both celebrities.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, that's the main thing. Is, yeah, I mean, like I said, you can go, I mean, I went into JR's plenty of times with my brother and his girlfriend at the time. Yeah. And then after a while, they were going to there more often than I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and, well, you know, I've been to straight bars, and I'm certainly not straight.
And you don't have bloggers writing about you, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is you are... You know that everything you do is being watched. And everything you do is going to get reported.
Yeah, it's... And that, like I said, that's the part that came out, like, was it like about a week or two before he came out, there was a big story about, you know, why don't you people just leave me alone? And then, you know, the next week they're announcing People Magazine is going to have his exclusive story. I'm trying to find if I've got that. We read about the story last week. Oh, yeah, no privacy for Lance Bassett, a gay bar. This was a story that ABC News covered.
Yeah. Here's one line out of this editorial that I think pretty much sums it up. Outing involves investigating and reporting on the private behavior of a public figure who denies being gay. Hanging out in gay bars doesn't constitute private behavior. It didn't take any sneaky detective work to uncover Bassett's sexual orientation. No one peered through his windows or sorted through his trash. He walked into a gay bar with his boyfriend, and witnesses connected the dots. Sorry, but there's no outing in this case.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the way it is.
Well, here's the ABC when they started. How much privacy should one-time NSYNC star Lance Bass expect when he visits a prominent gay bar with a prominent gay star? You know, the New York Post Page 6 column reported Lance Bass was spotted with Amazing Race Russian. I'm not even trying to pronounce the last name. At Atlantic House, a gay bar in Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was the original story on there.
I thought they asked for your gay card at the town border. I mean, I mean, straight people aren't even allowed in that city.
You're in P-Town.
Right.
You know.
I guess what if the situation would have been a little different? What if he had not gone to the gay bar and the media had speculated and reported without the public?
He tried to wear. He tried to have a disguise.
Oh, he did.
He wore a baseball hat.
Yeah, he wore.
Yeah, that's not quite a disguise.
Yeah, he tried lamely to disguise himself with a hat during his vacation.
Well, would the conversation be any different, though, if he wasn't at a public place and presenting himself?
Well, I mean, again, you come back to the, you're a celebrity, how much privacy do you really have? And, I mean, I don't think that everything they do should be dissected by the media. But you're right. It would be different if he were not out in public. Then it would be more of a real outing.
You see, in here they were caught wearing each other's clothing.
How'd they know?
Well, you take a picture of them one day and they're wearing they're changed out of here. But Fresh is a foot taller than Lance.
Well, I mean, maybe
you can wear the same shirts. Well, that's one of the whole reasons of being in a gay relationship is you can wear each other's clothes and double your wardrobe.
Wow.
Well, it's one of the benefits anyway.
Gay men aren't superficial. I'm going to marry you for your wardrobe.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's a little bit harder there to get the wedding, to get the bridal registry when you've got two men marrying, so you've got to look at
something. Actually, I think if I were to marry someone, my wardrobe would probably quadruple. If they were a normal gay person, they'd probably have three times more clothes than I do. But, we've talked about that, though. Oh, here it is. David Breyer is the one we were talking about. David Dreyer, I'm sorry, was the one we were talking about outside in the lobby. David Dreyer is the congressman, the Republican congressman from California, that was rumored to take over the position of majority leader from Tom DeLay, but quickly everyone started saying he was, quote, too moderate, and he is one of the people that are referred to as openly closeted, because he will not. The reason is he will not say he's straight. He refuses to.
Mm.
And he pulls that whole, my personal life is no one's business.
Sean Hayes.
Oh, does he do that too?
Yeah, from Will and Grace, he claims he won't discuss sexuality.
Right. Well, you know, when you're someone's congressman, I think that kind of your personal life is their business.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah.
And, you know, he, of course, is the one that caused Barney Frank to say they didn't choose him because he's too moderate. Just like last year, I went to a moderate pride parade, then I went to a moderate bar afterward. Yeah.
Moderate pride parade. Yeah, that would be a little boring. But then again, you know, you don't have to worry about people getting too close because the street's going to go right down the middle.
As it should be.
Has the wheels come off of this show yet?
So that's outing. I've outed someone before.
Well, now that
and it felt good.
That takes it to an interesting youth perspective. What if you're walking down the halls of your high school or whatever, and you know someone's gay, perhaps a high-profile youth that if people knew they were gay, perhaps it would make it easier for everyone else. How does outing change in that kind of a situation?
I really think that if they mind their own business and don't bother anybody, then you shouldn't out them, because it should be a personal decision. But when you're like the person I mentioned earlier that ran for city council hating gay people, then goes out to gay bars afterward and runs every time he sees me, well, then the situation is totally different, because you have made yourself a target.
Right.
You have drawn a line in the sand and said gay people are this. Well, you know.
Well, that's where a lot of people, you know, that's, in a way, you know, it's kind of like how they say a lot of the bashers are, you know, they're repressed homosexuals.
Right.
And these people are just ones that, you know, have to put out that persona for, especially in the public eye, because, you know, conservative Christian values supposedly does so well. And, you know, so you have to be anti-gay, anti-abortion, anti-the, you know, there's this whole list of things. And if you don't check off every one of them, you lose support.
Right.
And, you know, that's unfortunate the way our system is.
It is unfortunate.
And, you know, unfortunately, in society, being labeled gay can still be a detriment to your career, to your standing, whether you are or not.
Not in the court, though. A judge actually ruled once that no longer, you know, it is no longer the case that being labeled gay will hurt your reputation in most cases. And this was a celebrity guy. I think it was like Madonna's ex-boyfriend or something that sued a magazine because they referred to him as gay. And, you know, he sued them, and the judge went, no, you know, this is not, you are not.
It doesn't have as much of a stigma to it, but there still is, in some aspects of the society,
right,
a stigma on that gay label.
And that's another big thing about the Lance Bass case is you're a singer. You know, there's no real stigma in Hollywood or in the music industry.
But the fact is, he was part of a package deal that was sent out there get...
Back then, yeah. But now, what I'm saying is, now he can't act like, oh my God, you've killed my career. No, you're washed up already. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Right. When you try to get on the Soviet space program, your career,
did we have to get the crazy one?
Your 15 minutes of fame, that clock was ticking its final seconds when you decided to be a cosmonaut.
Well,
although, you know, if we send the two of them up into space, you know, a zero-G gay couple may not be the first time it's happened in the shuttle.
The first gay sex in space? I mean...
Yeah?
No, I mean, I really... At first, I was like, we'll score one for Team Gay. We got another convert. But then I realized, wait, we got a washed-up B-list pop star who once tried to go into space. Why? I mean,
well, you know, when you look at the other, I mean, when you look, combine NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, between the 10 of them, everyone else of them.
Statistically, one of them has to be gay.
Yeah. So, statistically, that. Plus the fact you've got all the other guys, they're either male whores or they're married. You know, the good Christian boys from the Backstreet Boys, they're married. You know, you've got Justin Timberlake, who...
Yeah, he's the only one any of them remember. Him and Nick Carter.
Yeah, well, because of the fact... Well, they also have something else in common. They both nailed Paris Hilton.
Oh,
but then
they?
Again, most of Hollywood has.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why do gay men idolize Paris Hilton? We should have talked about that tonight.
Because she gets to do all the things we'd like to do with the male celebrities. without letting the chihuahua watch. And Nick Carter's been such a great influence on his brother, who, when he still had a career, he was dating two celebrities at the same time.
I would date Nick Carter.
He's old enough now, I think. He's 17.
No, I don't think so. No, in fact, actually, I am ashamed to admit this, but actually once, someone accused me of liking someone who was they thought he was way younger than he actually was, and we looked it up on the IMDb mm-hmm. or whatever,
yeah.
and he's actually like something like a week younger than me, so I no. I'm not a freak. He's my age. And we're about to prove it right here, right now.
Why are they saying he's a...
Chris is looking it up.
Oh, I typed in the wrong name. That's why.
Very good.
I was trying to figure out why in the world the Backstreet Boys thing was coming up. I typed in Nick instead of Aaron. Actually, I could IMDb. Yeah, he's an IMDb because he's done
What is it with Paris Hilton, though? I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Have you ever heard the song Stupid Girls by Pink?
No. He's older than you.
Oh.
He's 19.
Oh.
Yeah, there
See?
You go.
See? Told ya.
He performed at the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show.
Lovely. There's a song, though, by a pop singer named Pink, and it's called Stupid Girls. And it's about this whole pop culture trend for women to be stupid. And it's I see it a lot with gay people, too. With, like, young gay guys, they want to be Britney Spears and Paris Hilton, and they dumb themselves down and act like they're silly when, you know, it's just really sad.
Yeah, that's a little sad.
Yeah.
So you think Paris Hilton's dumbing herself down?
Oh, I think she might be legitimately stupid.
I think she might be, too.
I don't know.
I mean, when the best thing that she's done was supposedly saving the guy for helping capture the guy who did the... who had the naughty video made of him from Girls Gone Wild.
What?
The guy from Girls Gone Wild, the 30-something-year-old guy who came up with the whole concept of having women flash cameras and taking pictures of them. Some guy broke into his home and robbed him and then took him by gunpoint, stripped him down, put him on his bed, and supposedly took some sort of toy, put it near the area, and had the guy going on, you know, my name is whatever my name is John Smith and I like to take it up the butt. And he videotaped this and then was blackmailing him for it. And you know, he was fighting against the blackmail. They couldn't figure out who the guy was until the same guy stole Paris Hilton's BlackBerry.
And I remember when all that happened.
And then they tracked it down from him. And when they went and was investigating him, they didn't find any of Paris Hilton's stuff, but that's where they found that guy's videotape. And so he went to jail for...
aggravated sexual assault?
I don't know what the charges were
for
blackmail. Well, he
should have gone to jail.
Right. That's some crazy stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about, you know, getting back at a guy who's made his millions off of getting young women and teenage girls to drop them out at him, you know, for a t-shirt or a koozie. And so this guy thought, hey, this would be cute. Let me get a video of...
He may be the smartest man alive. I mean...
Yeah. It's not bad looking, either. Someone out him.
Well, now they... Well, he... Or somebody now has Guys Gone Wild. I've seen that advertised on TV.
Very rarely on TV.
Yeah, on television.
Really, really late night. Yeah,
yeah, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah,
something between the colon cleanse infomercial and the newest drill with two-headed bits. I stay up late and watch TV.
I do, too, occasionally.
But, you know, that's... they rent and sell those over at Hollywood. But it's not like the Girls Gone Wild, because, you know, it's more difficult getting these straight college boys to do the gay scene like it is to get the co-eds to all of a sudden try lesbianism on camera. But no, if you watch late at night, you'll see enough of those girls going, well.
Oh, that's, yeah, I love Spike TV, but after two, that's all it is.
If they could get away with it, they would show the videos.
Well, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You know.
It's cable. Yeah, it's cable. Want to take a music break and regroup, refigure?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Nice of you to join us. All right, I'm going to play one I was going to play earlier. Although he left, so he's not going to be able to hear it. I was going to play Super 8 Cum Shot. And Jimmy just nods his head. I'm playing the gospel-y song because I like that.
I'm nodding my head, too. Shaking my head, rather.
Huh. You just want... I'm not going to go there. I got to be a good... This is allegedly a hatch segment. I got to be a good boy. But what the hey, I'm going to play a song called There's a Porn Star Shining Down on Me. This is After Hours.
Sometimes I feel discouraged when I cannot get it up. I'm tired and I'm weak and I feel I've lost my spunk. That's when I look to the heavens and I get down on my knees. And with faith and hope I pray that there's a porn star shining down on me. Shining down on me, yeah. Shake my body. fluffer, fluffer for the resurrection. There's such sweet salvation in the revelation of the fourth star shining down on me. Oh, there's a porn star shining, there's a porn star shining, there's a porn star shining down.
Super 8 cum shot, and I don't know what the hell their name is now.
I forget.
Yeah, they
but I like that song.
I'm sorry, it's still moaning.
Ooh.
You don't have it highlighted, and I just, one of the times I took the CDs home, and I was listening to them, and it was
and
like...
And you really liked it?
I like it, because it's got that...
Kind of gospel-y flavor.
Yeah, you start off and, you know...
And you're talking about porn stars in a gospel kind of milieu.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, you're... Huh? What? Go back to what? I gotta put on that thing, because that one's not working. Go back to what?
The Hatch website for us.
Oh, you need that number again?
Yeah, I tried to program it into my phone, but apparently I'm still an idiot when it comes to technology.
Oh, they've also canceled their website, so... Not Hatch.
Oh. Okay.
Somebody was going to get in trouble.
Yeah. So, Hatch. No. We've got about 10 minutes left, and we want to talk about Hatch. Just explain what we do and who we are. And if you want to find out more about Hatch, you can go to www.hatchyouth.org, HATCHYOUTH.ORG. And there you'll find out everything you need to know. And we also have a phone number that you can call.
And that is 713-529-3590. Oh, wait, wait a minute. Let me double check that, because that's Deb's number. Yeah, okay, that's it. That's the number of contact.
That's our, it's like a Hatch Youth hotline. And basically how it works is...
Someone on staff.
Oops, hold on, sorry. There we go. I forgot to push your button.
Oh. You'll leave a message, and the staff is very careful about protecting people's...
They're not going to out you.
...identity, right? No, that's not going to happen. They're very careful about protecting the identity of the people calling, and at that point when the service coordinator or someone on staff calls the person back, then they'll let the youth know when and where we meet. The location of Hatch is kept private and secret for the protection of the youth that attend. There's a conversation that goes from there.
Yeah. And like I said, when someone calls, you'll have a kid, you'll have a youth member calling you back, and you know, hi, I'm with Hatch. No, they're going to go, you know, I'm with Johnny and I go to school with him, and
right.
You know.
We're very careful.
Yeah, right.
So Hatch is a nonprofit organization, and it's basically a youth group for GLBTQ youth from ages 14 to 20.
That was QQ. Queer questioning.
whatever side of the fence you play on, you're welcome to come to Hatch.
Q squared, okay? Will that work?
And it's 3 hours long,
mm-hmm.
And the first hour is like the social hour where you just hang out and talk and catch up with everyone, meet everyone. Then the second hour, it's called Program Hour, and it's something different every week, and it's a lot of fun. Every now and then we have someone from the counseling center come and talk about health education, and it's everything from HIV prevention to drug prevention to learning about hepatitis and tuberculosis.
But it's not all the scary stuff.
Right, no, it's not.
We don't want you to think you're going to come in here and you're, you know.
This is not Texas public education.
Yeah. But it's going to give
it's
you.
It's better. Yeah.
It's going to give you the information you need to be a productive member of society in general. Not just, you know, you've got to. just, I guess I can steal the line from them because they don't work on radio anymore. You got to rap the rascal whether or not you're straight or you're gay or straight.
Right.
So yes. There has to be, you know, it gives you what you need to know to thrive in the world in general.
Right. And then we also watch movies sometimes, and
we've
play
had people,
board games.
Yeah. We've had people from diverse works come and do workshops on performance art.
We had someone from the DA's office, which was really interesting. We had a prosecutor come and talk to us about her job and what it was like,
yeah.
And I
yeah.
liked that. And then the last hour is I guess you'd call it peer-to-peer counseling, where we just sit and talk and deal with everything.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's nice because you can deal with things other than being gay, if you want. Because, I mean, a lot of the times, someone put it to me this way, and it's really true. If you're out at school or in the world, so often that's all people want to talk about with you.
Mm-hmm.
I had that problem when I was in high school, and that was one of the reasons I hated high school so much, was it was like I was only allowed to be gay. And, you know, at Hatch, I can be myself and not have to be all gay all the time. Yeah. And so it's a really
and
fun...
For some people, it's their chance to be gay.
Right, exactly. It's everyone views Hatch differently.
Yeah.
And that's really nice.
Yeah, because one of the things you have to look at with some of the people at Hatch is, you know, they may be closeted at home. They may be closeted at school. And here's a chance for them to be open and be expressive. And for some of them, you know, it could also take a little while. I went out with a friend of mine last month, and we were going through Hollywood. And he was kind of wide-eyed because he hadn't been out in that sort of environment. And I camped it up a little bit for him. And he kept looking at me like, oh, my God. It's like, how do you like this item? I said, you know, your mom likes candles. How about that one? So, you know, that was a little scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the sort of thing, is that to have that opportunity to, you know, just to be in an area, look at, you know, stare at some guy for more than 2 seconds before you got to turn away and pretend you're looking at somewhere else.
Right.
Just that sort of, even that, just that base thing. It's not like it's a hookup scene.
Right. You can be yourself whoever you are.
To whatever degree you want to be.
And it's interesting watching the youth evolve over a period of years, where they come in very timid, frightened to some extent, where they don't label or don't identify one way or the other, and then over the years become more comfortable, the interactions they get with the other youth, really coming into becoming who they are.
Yeah, we've seen that on the radio show where you brought in somebody. In the beginning, it's like, you know, say something, say hello, you know, let us hear you breathe, you know, that they're so timid, and then come around and they're, you know, they're able to contribute.
Right.
And be a part of it.
Yes. So Hatch is good. Hatch is fun. I've been going to Hatch. It's August, right?
Yeah.
So a year now.
Yeah. And we do field trips occasionally.
Yeah. We went ice skating a couple weeks ago, which was super fun.
My people don't skate. I talked about it. We were going to have a 50-50 raffle. You know, whoever breaks one leg gets half the, gets a third of the money, and then, you know, if you break both your legs, you get two-thirds of the money. Oh. That sort of thing.
Lovely.
Can you imagine me on ice skates?
Well, okay. We went ice skating. We went roller skating. Some of us went to Dallas for their Pride Parade.
Yeah, which is in October.
Right.
Yeah.
It's always something different. I'll say that.
So, hatchyouth.org or 713-529-3590.
And we hope to see you there. I'm waiting for the day when someone comes in and says, I heard about this on the radio show. That would be super cool.
That would be.
Yeah. We've had people in the past.
As heard on radio.
Who've said they've listened to the Hatch segment, and they've come to join Hatch before.
So.
And that's what it's all about. That's why you're here.
And I think we actually bring in a lot of people to our prom each year from what we tell people.
Sure.
And what they hear over
the years. Oh, yeah. We have a prom every June, and you can bring whoever you want. it's not like you have to bring a girl if you're a guy, or you have to bring a guy if you're a girl.
And if you want to wear a dress, guys, to a prom, this is your opportunity to.
That's right. Yes.
I had to say that because Travis wouldn't. He's too uptight.
I'm not uptight. And I just don't feel the need to wear a dress.
There is the Hatch PFAG scholarship that, as a Hatch member, you are getting extra points when they tally who gets what and how much amount the youth get. So that's another added bonus.
Yeah. We'll take care of you.
What? He's staring at me like he's expecting me to make a comment. I try and be on better behavior during the Hatch segment.
Okay.
I try. Don't always succeed, but I try. I save the rude comments for later, because if not, you know, Deb listens and she calls up and yells at me and she scares me.
Deb is a sweetie.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And I miss seeing her.
All right, so let's put a little music on, and we'll get in the next group and get ready. Of course, I had to pick this group because Travis likes them.
Must be Pansy Division.
Must be Pansy Division.
Yes. Love punk.
I do, too.
That
was
now, that would be so, you know, considering the persona that you put out going, yeah, I like punk.
I do. You know, you say I'm uptight. I'm actually a very open-minded and diverse person.
He had the colored rainbow hair during Pride.
I did.
You did.
True.
Yes. We have been playing Pansy Division since the days when they only had a tape out.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, remember those?
I was really little.
Yeah. Really little. Yes. Early 90s. Very early 90s.
Yeah,
these boys have been at it a long time.
Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
You're not quite to your early 90s yet.
No, not yet. As I confessed in the last segment, in the After Hours Quickie, that I'm a year and a half away from being a member of Spry.
Oh, that's a great program. Spry's a great program.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to be pushing it a lot.
Good. It's a good program.
Good. Okay, well, thanks for being here. And we want to see more hatchlings next month.
Yes, they're in big trouble.
Oh, go ahead and say it now. Put your mic back on.
Oh, the hatchlings are in big trouble. They're going to be here next month.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back. For some music.
He's into sports. Looks good in shorts. But you're just another gay. I've seen his type, seen him all my life, always pulling for the side that's winning. You need someone who cares, so don't look over there. I can show you what you've been missing. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Treats you right. today. Sweatpants clinging to your crevice. Boxer shorts for easy access. I'm digging your groovy underwear. Running shorts, thin as paper, barely dressed, nearly naked, pulled down around your ankles. I'll make you spill out like an oil tanker, all because of your groovy underwear. Groovy underwear, ooh, ooh, groovy underwear. Groovy underwear, ooh, 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 it's so groovy. So hot, I've come, I've shot, my turn now to get you off. What a collection of skivvies I got. Stinky little G-string, hardly a stitch covering that thing. Tucked into that little pouch, straining hard to get out. Barely hold you once you get throbbing. Let my hands go fishing around in. Look what I found in your groovy underwear. Groovy underwear, ooh, ooh, groovy underwear. Groovy underwear, ooh, ooh, ooh. It's so groovy. Let me give those bones a squeeze. What fine cakes, what fine batter. Any second now I'm gonna splatter all over your groovy underwear.
Double shot of Pansy Division. We started off with Who Treats You Right, and then we went into Groovy Underwear. Where you're leaving us to?
Yes. Let's go.
Yes. Enjoy the quilts with Granny.
Absolutely.
It's too early for me to say that, so I'll wait till later. But this is After Hours. And I guess what I'll do is I'll make a little programming note to let everyone know here. Even though we're saying Hatch is going to be on next month, the first week, right now we're not. Do you want your mic on, Jimmy?
Yes.
Okay. Next month we might have a preemption on that. And
okay.
Hopefully we'll have news about that next week. But if we do, we'll definitely be having Hatch on. Hatch will be on next month, the first or the second. We'll figure that out.
Works for me.
So... Why is your mic so... Oh. Now speak.
Works for me.
There we go. That's what I...
Uh-huh.
Well, that microphone, the only way we've been able to put the mic on that one is I had to go steal it out of the production studio lately.
Oh.
So I just naturally assumed you were on three, not one.
Oops.
I think I'm on number three.
No, you're on two. You're on two. Oh,
okay. All right.
I think I'm the one that's on the third.
You're on three. I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, well.
Are you modeling your accoutrement?
Not yet.
I warned him when they showed it to us. I said, Jimmy's going to require you to model that for you.
Yes.
I figured let's do a little serious first.
Okay.
Quote unquote. They will play.
Sure.
Hello.
It's your time. Go.
Yes.
This is the new bisexual segment.
Right.
Because it's headed up by new people.
That's right.
Now, Gigi is going to probably drop in from time to time.
I think his talk is he'll come in and do some other subject that he has some passion around.
Yes.
Whereas me...
Yeah, we're not losing Gigi.
No.
Gigi's going to be talking more about paganism and spirituality and radical fairies and all that kind of stuff on a kind of a floating schedule, either the second or the fourth Saturdays. But,
well, he's a fairy. He's always floating.
Yeah, that's right.
Always fluttering about.
Yeah, and he's spending more time out in the... field, you know,
that's where the fairy gatherings
the
are.
Property,
right out near Bastrop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the annual fairy gathering, fairy gathering.
You've been to that?
I've been to several.
Yeah.
Sort of.
But tonight.
Tonight we're starting a new version of the Binet show.
And it's headed up by?
By me, David.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as Great Bear.
Okay.
But you just call me Great.
And me, Robin.
And
then, me, Robin?
My partner in crime, Robin.
Okay. Yes, and you two are partners in real life?
We're not living together yet.
Okay.
We're
working on it.
Okay, okay.
And I just got to toss this out here. I have my own name for this segment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I call it the Bisexual Agenda.
Okay, I like that.
So it's a play on the... You know, phrase, you know, some people...
The gay agenda.
You know, the gay agenda, homosexual. And for me, yes, there is an agenda to help people feel good about themselves,
mm-hmm.
to help people get it to validate the feelings that they find themselves kind of in that between place, between the two extremes of a continuum called sexuality.
Exactly.
And, you know, to, you know, bring this subject up for discussion, kind of help give people an opportunity to tell their story
mm-hmm.
and know that they're going to be heard.
Because by my estimation, there, if you look at the Kinsey scale of 0 to 6, where 0 being exclusively heterosexual and 6 being exclusively homosexual, that really not that many people are on either end.
Right.
Most of the people are somewhere in between
there.
Somewhere
in the middle.
So... By my way of thinking, most of the world is bisexual.
Probably.
That's
to
what
some
I'm thinking,
degree.
Too.
Yeah.
And just,
but they're also the most hidden.
Right. And sometimes it may be a case where people don't realize it, that they may have some bisexual
mm-hmm.
tendencies. That's how I would describe myself, in that when I think about it, the potential has always been there. I would say
mm-hmm.
my basic nature is to be straight. That's how I, you know, on the surface, that's who I am. That's how I always thought of myself. But there's always been something... underneath that kind of says, oh, guys can do it too with each other. Tell me more about that. Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
And just over the years, when I found out, yes, it is possible to have some interest both ways.
Sure.
When I realized, oh, you can do that? And it was probably listening to the show, probably hearing Gigi, you know, 12 years ago when he first came on the air.
Yeah.
That's how it was for me. I mean, I always knew I was attracted to women even when I went through puberty, but it was like, kind of push it back because, you know, the way I was raised up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got into, like, my 20s. I started, like, coming out, but then I was thinking, well, maybe I'm a lesbian. And I tried to go all the way that way. It didn't work because I still tried to men. And so I had a friend of mine had invited me to one of the Binet meetings as a hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gigi, and that's when I go, oh! That's what it is.
That was the question I was going to ask of you two and anybody else who wants to chime in on that. When it comes to bisexuality, did you grow up thinking that you had to be either gay or straight, and then you were confused about having desires for both sexes?
Right. That's how I would describe my situation, because, you know, my sexuality, as I, you know, think about how it evolved,
mm-hmm.
some of my first experiences were male to male. I have a cousin who is gay.
Mm-hmm.
And we played around kind of pre-adolescent stage.
Sure.
And, you know, he's the gay guy. I'm the one that started it, though.
Oh.
You know, so I'm the one made it more adventurous, though. It kind of turned around. I think when I think about it, I'm probably about 6 months older than he is,
mm-hmm.
but I think he may have matured a little sooner than I did. So he knew some stuff I didn't. And kind of, in a way, he's like, I started, but then he became more and more aggressive, and I backed away.
Oh, okay.
Plus, you know, for me, it's just simply hearing the messages from society. Nobody ever actually sat me down and said, watch out for these fags, for these strange people here. I never heard, I mean, You know, I didn't hear that, but I still picked up sort of just the general messages about what boys and girls do or don't do.
Same thing with me. It was kind of like the culture was basically telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. And then I was growing up in a, you know, Baptist church.
Whoa.
And you know how that is. So it's like, for years I was trying to push it back because it's like, I'm going to go to hell or something if express it. So I just held it in. Knowing that deep inside, I was like admiring women and stuff for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
Even my best friends didn't even know until I was in my 20s when I really started thinking about coming out. It's the first time I came to the Montrose area was in my mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ACC College and I needed to get school supplies. And the only place I can think of to get the art supplies was the Texas Arts Supply Store. So one day I went down there on the bus. My mom took me there first.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove in a car and, you know, went there and left the area. But one day I decided I needed the stuff right now and I couldn't wait on the way to take me, so I called the bus. So I'm looking around and I'm going, this place is different.
Yes.
Yeah. And my mom forbid me to go in the area.
Are you kidding?
I couldn't go there for the longest time. I can go anywhere else.
But not the Montrose.
I mean, the crime rate can be so bad in some areas. It's like, well, just be careful. But over there, it's like, no, don't go over there. Don't go over there.
Whoa. The reputation of the Montrose lives.
I get over there, and it's like, that's the reason why she was so freaky.
Yeah.
Well, that's the old joke. If you drop your keys to Montrose, just kick them along the ground until you get to the gallery up.
That's right. That's funny.
Right.
I know what you're going to talk about tonight, and I guess I want to preface that by saying, about a month ago, we had to announce the death of a very famous person.
Right.
In the bisexual community.
Yeah. Dr. Fritz Klein.
Yes.
He made his transition, as some would say, back in May.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from a heart attack.
Yeah.
He was, I think he was 73, had done a lot of research, thought, you know, work, and, you know, saying, hey, this, you know, hey, it's all right to be this way. And he's written, you know, he's written several books about it. One of the books that he's perhaps best known about, a book called The Bisexual Option, originally published in 1978 and then updated and republished back about, I think, about 1990.
Mm-hmm. I need to jump in here and remind folks that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on listener-sponsored Pacifica Station, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and KPFT Galveston at 89.5 FM. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll just throw out, I overheard somebody saying that next weekend we're going to be in Marathon in the fundraising.
Yes, we're getting close to it.
So just give a little quick plug about that. Mm-hmm. You'll be sure to listen in and make that pledge.
You bet.
Keep this show on the road.
Yes.
So we can talk more about different stuff like bisexuality that you would never hear on any other station.
You certainly would.
Probably in this country.
So, but anyway. Couple of things. I'll throw this out real quick. Thing about concerning what I see about Rob and I doing here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about primary thing it will be, you know, talk about bisexuality,
mm-hmm.
our own experiences, and also hopefully something I do is hear from people about your experience. I'll mention this again later, but basically just invite people to, you know, contact us and say, okay, you know, tell us your story.
There's sure.
Probably a couple of ways to do it. We through the show here. Through KPFD, either via, you know, the U.S. Postal Service,
mm-hmm.
or email.
Sure.
Or the other way I've done it is went ahead and set up a special email address. People can contact me directly.
No, really?
It's the address is BiAgenda, BiAgenda.
Mm-hmm. BiAgenda.
At EV1.net.
Okay, that's easy.
So I invite people to, you know, write us in. Make, you know, like I said, tell us your stories.
And if they want to send it by snail mail, the address is After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, 77006. Not just a zip code, but a life.
Really? And like I said, invite people to participate in this process. Cause,
you bet.
I mean... Yeah, between me and Rob, we probably can come up with a lot to say, but I have that sense of, and I've got right out.
There's a lot of stories out there.
Right.
Of people coming out or dealing with their bisexuality in many different ways.
And just there's an opportunity to share.
Good.
That's it. Tell your story.
Good.
We'll listen.
Good. So what are we doing tonight?
Okay. We're going to look at the concept of bisexuality. I guess something started here about what it is and what it's not.
Ah, okay.
You know, what it is for me and Robin. And, of course, again, that's why I'm saying invite people to, you know, contact us and tell us about, okay, what is it for you? And one of the things I don't talk about is one of the things that Dr. Fritz Klein, okay, you had to be careful. Keep wanting to say Fritz Perls. It was another well-known psychotherapist. But one of the things he came up with is what he calls the Klein Sexual Orientation Grid.
Okay.
Back several years ago, Alfred Kinsey, when he was doing his research, came up with a sexual orientation scale.
Mm-hmm.
He has it originally, you know, 0 through 6.
Right.
You know, again, 0 being completely straight, you know, 6 being completely gay, and just, you know, in this case, you know, 3 or whatever would be, you know, half, approximately halfway. But what Fritz Klein did in his own research came to realize that in a way, it was a little too narrow. Because, you know, when we call, say, bisexuality, what is it? You know, it actually is more than just having a sexual attraction to, you know, both sexes. You know, it's like I say, when I describe myself, you know, in my just normal, everyday, kind of the surface, you know, if I see a man, well, I'm going to, whatever it compels me to look, I'm going to look at the woman. That's just my nature.
Okay.
But there's something below that it says, and yes, there's something about the guy that's interesting, too.
Okay.
And so it's just this simple scale that Kinsey really came out, doesn't describe it. In the book, Fritz Klein talks about, you know, this, I think, example, he has a man who's happily married, loves his wife, and in this particular story, talks about how, you know, they are sexual each other approximately once a week. Okay. But once a month, this guy goes to the bathhouse in his town, goes to play around some men.
Sure.
And so it's sort of like, based on that thing, well, is he straight or gay or somewhere in the middle? Since, by definition, he's married, happily married, and has sex with his wife, you know, 52 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
once a month, he goes and has sex with 4 or 5 men.
you know,
so it's kind of like, how do you define this?
Yeah, and I guess what you're saying is bisexuality is not that you are attracted to men and women equally.
Right.
There's a kind of there's a spectrum there.
And apparently, generally speaking, most people who would consider themselves bi still got favor one direction or the other.
Yes.
And Fritz Klein came up with was a way of kind of being a look, you know, person could look at themselves and say, okay, this appears to be who I am based on this scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, it's not like, you know, you should try to think of the words that you just. This is, you know, just something we're using to describe something. It is a label.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can have problems. You try and, you know, fit a label. But at the same time, it can be useful to just kind of help someone kind of look and say, okay, this is what I see myself as compared, say, to everything else I might see. Just
okay.
So I have a better understanding of who I am.
Okay.
And what I was wanting to do tonight is invite everybody who's able to make it a little piece of paper and follow along. I'll kind of lead everybody through how to use this little test.
No.
So,
well, I think I'll take this test along with you.
All right.
So let me get a piece of paper.
Okay. So get a piece of paper, your number 2 pencil, and what other writing instruments that you like to use? Also, while we're waiting, let me go on. There's a couple of paragraphs at the beginning of this chapter in Fritz Klein's book that I was looking through earlier. I kind of liked it because it kind of, again, asked that question about what is bisexuality. I'll just kind of read through them real quick. And Fritz Klein said, and I quote, "What is bisexuality? The prefix bi means two or dual. We call a person with command of two languages bilingual. A simple enough definition, bisexuality, however, is not so easily slotted. It is generally the most complex state of sexual relatedness with people. It exists to various degrees in everyone. Its dimensions are multiple." Its prefix can even be called misleading. Is it bi only insofar as there are two ends to the spectrum of sexual preference? The very complexity breeds the wide range of misconceptions about bisexual behavior, as disguised homosexuality, transitional state from hetero to homosexuality, and, of course, the ultimate psychosexual dismissal, sickness.
Mm.
And one more here. Complexity in human behavior is fed by the exercise of choice. The more choices one's environment and inner state allow, the more complex the exercise. In the everyday life of the bisexual, for example, more intricate responses and signals are called for. So, I kind of like how you started there.
Okay.
Okay, so, got that paper ready? Let me describe what's going on here. Kind of imagine, or take a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a grid along one side, probably on the left side of paper. There will be seven categories. So it could just be A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Okay. And
yes.
Okay. A is sexual attraction. Okay. Everybody ready? B would be sexual behavior. C would be sexual fantasies. D would be emotional preference. Okay.
Well, no, wait a minute. Okay. I'm still writing. Emotional preference.
Yes. All right.
Uh-huh.
E would be social preference. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
And then F would be heterosexual or homosexual lifestyle. And then G would be self-identification. All right.
Okay.
Now, to the right of all of these, there'll be three columns.
Okay.
And you got along the top, you list this as past, present, and ideal. Okay. Now, we work with, when scoring these categories, we work with a scale of 1 to 7.
Okay.
Generally speaking, it's parallels what Kinsey did about, one being completely one side, seven being completely the other, and of course, four is halfway.
Okay, so which way is it?
Okay. Well, the way he has it phrased here, one would be other sex only. It's number seven, radius seven would be same sex only. And of course, four would be both sexes equally. So what I'm going to do here, I'll go ahead and start kind of describing what all these are. Again, we start with sexual attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the book here in the paragraph, it talks about how sexual attraction is not synonymous with sexual behavior. Okay?
Right.
So, yeah, for me, sexual attraction would be, say, I see this person, I find them attractive. I think they look good.
Okay.
Yeah. So say, work with sexual attraction, take that first column, it says past, and say, where were you at that in the past, from level, score 1 to 7. Again, one is other sex only, then it's other sex mostly, other sex somewhat more, both sexes equally, then same sex somewhat more, same sex mostly, and same sex only.
Okay.
And pass, how you score to pass on the subject of sexual attraction. And then how would you score yourself for present? What's going on right now? You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got Robin
here. I don't have it here.
Okay. And then what do you consider to be the ideal?
What do you mean by that?
Ideal. To me, it's kind of like, okay, here's who I am. This is what I seem to be doing. What would I consider ideal? Okay. What would I consider ideal be? Strictly one or the other? Or would somebody be somewhere in the middle? I mean, to me, when I ask about the ideal, that's something I kind of do a lot with other things I do. About, when I ask the question, I hear people talking, I want to ask the question, well, what do you want?
Okay.
Yeah. That would be the idea. What do you want? Okay. Now, on that A, on that first one, with the past, I would put myself right now really at one.
Mm-hmm.
As far as sexual attraction, other sex only. Present time, I would put myself maybe closer to three.
Okay.
Still tend to, favor the straight side, but I'm becoming more comfortable with the idea. Yeah, I can, it's all right to play me sexually interested in men and kind of look and say, that does kind of look kind of nice.
Okay.
But I still kind of, if I still got to put a man or woman, I just kind of still think the girl is, quote unquote, more attractive.
Okay.
And I would say for me, the ideal would be that halfway point, the four.
Gotcha.
Okay. Anybody else here like to share? What they got? What they came up with?
Well, I've got a five for past.
Okay.
And for present, I have a six.
Alrighty.
And that is also my ideal.
All righty. Okay. Rob? Rob, you want to share?
I put in a number one since I was in a heterosexual mostly in the past.
Mm-hmm.
President, I just figuring it out and put number three in. I guess I did put number four.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the next category is sexual behavior. Yeah.
You want in on this?
My past is I've always, ever since I can remember, I've looked at both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And my younger years, my upraising was always to look towards the male.
Sure.
But I always would look at that one little lady that caught my eye.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, present, as much as I would like to say that I'm riding right there in the middle and in that four, I think I'm more in towards that five.
Okay.
Right now, I'm really, you know,
sure,
trying to meet that special lady.
All right.
But ideally, four, yeah, is what I'd like to be.
Okay.
Okay. The next category is sexual behavior. Now, like I was saying earlier, quoting this paragraph, talking about how sexual attraction is not necessarily synonymous with sexual behavior. Quoting the book, a person can be attracted to one gender and yet have sex with the other. For example, Jane, a 34-year-old mother with two children, was monogamous in her marriage. She did not have sexual relations with women, though she readily admitted to being attracted to females since her early childhood. It's like, you know what, you know, talk to people about my own bisexual tendencies. Like I said, I might tend to find women more attractive, but there's still something to find attractive about the idea that the act of being sexual with a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in fact, the guy doesn't necessarily have to look good in order for me to find him attractive. If there's, you know, I might still find an emotional connection. You know, actually, we'll probably touch on that later in the test. So, like I said, again, sexual behavior, again, past, present, and ideal. Let's see. And the rating I give myself is, again, kind of similar to the first category, in that one previously was strictly women.
Sure.
Nowadays, probably closer to that three, not, you know, mostly, as it says here, other sex somewhat more, you know. In other words, yeah, my primary sexual relationship, like I said, was with Robin.
Yeah.
But still, every now and then, still go over to, you know, one of the, you know, bathhouses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even a couple of guys, friends I've known over the years, who I was able to go play with.
Oh.
Okay. And again, the idea, I would put that again, at four, that halfway point.
Well, again, I start, my past would be a five, because I have had emotional and sexual relation. Well, we're talking about sexual behavior. Yes,
yeah.
I've had sex with women in the past. The present, it's six. Not that I'm having relations with women at the time, but I just don't want to close that door.
Oh, okay.
And that, of course, is my ideal.
Right.
The six.
All right.
I want to leave a little leeway there.
Okay. Does anybody else want to chime in?
Well, for me in the past, it was one because I was basically heterosexual behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And around in my 20s, I was like going to a five because I was basically trying to be a lesbian but didn't realize. In the present, it's like maybe three, kind of like in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Moving on, we now come to the subject of sexual fantasies. What do you fantasize about? Yeah, we know what you fantasize about.
Yeah, you're right.
And, again, same thing about the other categories. Again, look at yourself. Sexual fantasies, let's see. It's going score. Okay. You know, fantasy being, you know, when you think about, okay, what do you think about most? Kind of what really, you know, gets you turned on, or, you know, you know, stimulating yourself.
Yeah.
You know, do you fantasize, if so, about who or what or whatever, or combination thereof? I put myself down as two in this case. again, especially masturbating fantasies would tend to be mostly women. But over time, I realized that the image of men would creep in.
Mm-hmm.
And present time, I put myself at a 3. My tendency, I've noticed, is when I'm playing myself and fantasizing, it usually starts out as women, especially, a lot of times Robin.
Mm-hmm.
But then it kind of like, as I get more aroused, I start fantasizing about doing it with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, right now, my ideal would be, again, about half and half. And maybe you've got to switch back and forth depending on what mood I'm in.
Yeah.
So.
Well, in the past, I've put myself as a 4.
Mm-hmm.
In the present, I put myself as a 5, and I think that's because I'm thinking of not only fantasies but dreams,
mm-hmm,
sexual
right.
dreams,
right.
And my dreams are almost equal, men and women.
Okay.
And I know that I find heterosexual pornography, mm-hmm, especially film,
okay,
a lot more stimulating than gay films.
Okay.
And I don't know the reason.
Okay.
Maybe because I've done everything in
right.
the gay porn.
Okay.
And
you've done it.
Yeah, there's still for me there's still some mystery about the female body.
Right.
And so I think I find that interesting, and I would like my ideal to be 4 also.
Right.
That I would be have equal fantasies.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty healthy view.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Robin?
Well, I put 2 from the past because I mostly fantasize about men, but every now and then I fantasize this certain women that I would see and stuff like on TV or at school or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the president, I put down a 3 for basically for both ways, going both ways. Fantasizing for men and women, and I guess ideal in the future is probably be for 3.
All right. Okay. Moving along, we come to the next one, which has to do with emotional preference. And to me, that means, who do you prefer to be with? What sort of emotional attraction do you have? And to me, it's not necessarily a sexual emotional attraction, but still, who are you comfortable with? Men or women, or some combination?
Who gives you more emotionally?
Yes.
Oh, that's easy.
As, again, quoting the book, there are some people who prefer to have sex with one gender, but are emotionally involved with the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see. Okay. What I put down for myself for the past, mm-hmm, is a 5.
Mm-hmm.
And for the present, I put down 5. And right now, my ideal is 5. But my experience for myself is, except for specific situations like my relationship with Robin, mm-hmm, I just tend to be just more comfortable with men. Now, that's just how I seem to be. And I've told Robin this, that one of the things I find attractive about her is she just has some sort of butchy masculine tendencies.
Yeah.
And so it's like I'm comfortable with her. Whereas with some women, be a Playboy model, but in a way that femininity is almost so strong, I feel like I'm going to gag on it.
I see your point.
Right.
And I'm kind of close to you. I have 6 for past, present, and ideal.
All right.
Because I do have an emotional attachment to women.
Right.
It's not a sexual thing. It's more of I need women in my life.
Right.
But I want, if I'm going to live with somebody, it's going to be a man.
Right.
So that's why I have it scored that high.
Right. Okay. Now the next category, Robin.
Well, in the past I put 2 because, I was looking, a little emotional for men, but a lot of times I run to women and they understand me and stuff a lot more easier because we both go through the same problems.
Mm-hmm.
And in the presence, I kind of feel that way with other men because of the relationship with David. But I have been in relationships with women where it was very emotional, more of that than the sex. And the idea, I guess, in the prison is I put number three.
And what? And so three would be your ideal?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you never know. We might end up having a polyamorous relationship later. You never know.
Yeah, could be.
Are you going to get in on this, Lynn?
Yeah.
Okay. We've been passing you over here.
That's okay. I'm used to it.
Oh, well.
In the past, my draw has always been towards the female because of the emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that men are as emotional or as passionate, and I consider passion to be part of that emotion. And so in the past, I'd say I was a six.
Mm-hmm.
Presently, it's at three. You know why.
Yeah, I know why.
But ideally, I would like it to be even between both the male and the female.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's not. But in the past, it's... I think emotionally been leaning more towards female.
Okay.
All righty. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, next category, which would be social preference. Now, just who do you hang out with? Yeah. What kind of people do you socialize with? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. And social preference. Let's see. Okay. What I put down for myself in the past is actually six.
But, really?
Yeah. Most of my social interactions has been with men. Yeah, and what it still tends to be that way. And mm-hmm. when I say men, I find myself may have to qualify it a little bit. The men who I feel most comfortable around, it gets back to the emotional thing, are men who, they're masculine, but they're not macho.
Yeah.
They're not needing to go out and prove themselves. Mm-hmm. If anything, they're willing to kind of go do a little bit of shadow work, as I call it, and willing to take a look at themselves and say, how can I make my life better? And that's, most of the men I feel comfortable with talking about, that's who I hang around with.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who basically go out and drink beer, sorry, nothing there for me. besides, I don't drink, so I'm completely lost to me anyway.
Yeah.
But socially, that's how I've tended to do it. In the past. Presently, it's more closer to five. Mm-hmm. And a lot of has it because got the relationship with Robin, so mm-hmm. I hang around with her a lot. But otherwise, I still tend to be hanging around the guys.
Okay.
And that can be straight or gay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm just, generally speaking, more comfortable around men than women. Nothing against the women, just that's just who I can relate to.
Okay.
And right now, my ideal would keep it at that level five.
Okay.
So, and... Wait, what do you
got? For me, in the past, I put a four because women have been important in my life, but men too,
okay.
And I gravitate toward men. But in the social situation, I'm more for right now. I have a three as a present,
okay.
Because. In a social situation, I prefer to hang around with women because, for me, that takes the sexual part just out of it.
Okay.
I see myself as only social with women.
Right.
There's not that many women that I'm attracted to.
Right.
But I would like to see it at a five.
Okay.
I would like to be in the company of men more.
All righty. Yeah, your comment reminded me of a thought I had once, an insight about how there's been traditionally always been these men's societies mm-hmm. or men's clubs or whatever.
Yes.
And one thought occurred to me is one reason they don't want any women there, assuming they're all straight, other guys are all straight, they don't want the women there because they don't want to hold those sexual feelings being kicked up. They want
yes,
the opportunity
exactly.
to take a break from it.
That's right. That's, yeah. Yeah.
So.
And Lynn?
Robin.
Robin?
Well, I think in the past I put number two because most of my friends were guys.
Because
I was a tomboy. And I can be rough and tough and just be me with them. And I had some female friends, like they were real close. One couple, they were real, real close. But most of the time I hung out with guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the prison is kind of like in between guys and girls. And most of them are probably gay or type of guys that he hang out with. But I do find myself, drinking beer and stuff with guys and watching the game and stuff. And then I find myself hanging out with women, too, so some gay and straight. So in the prison, I put three because that's kind of where I wanted to be, kind of be able to associate with anybody, with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Lynn?
For me, in the past, having had a military affiliation and now what I do for a living, it's always been male dominated.
Yeah.
So, in the past, I've always hung out with the guys, been one of the guys.
Mm.
Looked at and expected pretty much to act like one of the guys. Presently, I see that I hang out with men, do things with men more than I do with the females.
Mm-hmm.
But ideally, I'd like that to be a five. I'd like to be around the females more, be more involved in that section of
okay.
my life.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. The next category is, now actually, you know, I listened to the show one time. There's some little debate going on concerning the issue of lifestyle.
Yes.
Heterosexual versus homosexual lifestyle.
Yes.
And there was some debate about, you know, is there, you know, I guess the idea being, you know, I think it was Merlin was talking about it, said, you know, something like, hey, I didn't choose this or something like that. I forget the exact nature. But for the purpose of the test, we're talking about, you know, the lifestyle, and to me that might be, again, who you hang out with, mm-hmm. what kind of activities you do, what sort of things you do to support who you are.
Yeah.
And so, again, you know, in the past, you know, again, 1 through 7. Okay, oh, stop. Back away a second. Okay. There's a slight difference here in the test. It's still 1 through 7, but they're now talking, changing the words a little bit. It's, you know, one is hetero only, then hetero mostly, heterosexual somewhat more, then hetero, gay, you know, equally.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, gay, lesbian somewhat more, mostly, and then only. So
oh, crap, I thought it was 1 through 6.
Okay. Uh-oh. Got to retake the test. But otherwise, still at 1 through 7. So
okay.
Lifestyles.
Okay.
Lifestyle. Okay. So, what I put down for myself in the past, now define the past, we're going to say the last 20 years,
mm-hmm.
it's been pretty much strictly heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I might, you know, listen to the show like this on KPFT, but otherwise I identify myself as straight and just kind of was, I would say, just an outside observer of the gay lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I put myself as a 3. I am involved in a couple of gay men's organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I show up here on the radio station.
Yes.
But I don't necessarily go to clubs or anything. I'm really not a club-type person. And I'm not, at this point, at least not, you know, quote-unquote, actively involved in any of the political stuff, though. Mm-hmm. I expect, you know, starting to come on here, start talking about bisexual, I may start to put me in a little bit of the activist role.
Yeah, it will. It probably will. Right.
But, you know, just general everyday, you know, most people still hang around, still straight.
Mm-hmm.
At least I assume they are. Nobody's told me different. So that, but right now, I put myself at 3. I'm not, and, you know. And right now, as far as what I consider ideal, I probably put that at 4.
Okay.
Again, kind of, you know, somehow the activities is about halfway and supports both sides of, you know, how I see myself. Like I said, you know, there's been, I've heard discussions and issues about, you know, are bisexuals accepted anywhere? In the couple of groups I hang out with, otherwise made of gay men, you know, I'm basically more pretty much open that I got a girlfriend, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, but otherwise occasionally like to play with the guys too, and they seem to be all right with it. Yeah. So if there's any, the only time I really had an encounter was with a couple of gay men I know through this group I'm involved with called the New Warriors,
mm-hmm.
and they came up to me and through a process we have for dealing with things like that came up and said, I have an issue with what you're talking about. Because that doesn't mean that I'm bad. Just that they're admitting I have the issue and I need to talk to you about that. And otherwise, we were able to resolve it.
Good.
Robin Howard has told me some stories about not always being welcome in some of the lesbian clubs and stuff.
Oh, I can imagine.
So like I said, that's where my story is right now. So how is everybody else doing?
Well, I took that to be the distant past because when I was in the workforce, I was immersed in heterosexuality.
Right.
And I spent many years without a lover.
All right.
So I put in the past two.
Okay.
Because it was... Because that's where I was.
Right.
In the present, I put a six.
All right.
Because although I'm a gay activist, you can't live by bread alone.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's a big world out there, and you have to interact with it. So while I do most of my life in the gay community, there's an interaction with
right.
the straight community
right.
that I need to deal with. And that's where I'd like to... That's my ideal.
All right.
I like the gay community. I like working in it. I like living
okay.
in it. But I want to always have a foot in the real society.
Yeah. The so-called real society.
Yeah. You know, when you're a member of a small group, you can get a distorted view of life if you immerse yourself in your own community.
Right.
So I always want to keep a foot in the straight community, too.
All righty.
Robin?
Huh?
Well, in the past, I put one because basically I was living the straight lifestyle because I didn't have another choice because
mm-hmm.
I was afraid to basically come out of the closet. And in the present, you know, I kind of went through the lesbian thing, too, for a while, and that didn't work out about maybe 1 or 2 years or so. It didn't work out when I found out about bisexuals. Basically, I put in a four for present because I'm kind of like in between now.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want that for the future, for the idea, so I can basically be, like you said, like you be in both worlds.
Yeah. When?
In the past, strictly heterosexual.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, back in my younger years, 20, 30 years ago, I might have something off the side with the female, but, I mean, it was hush-hush, quiet.
Gotcha.
You know, totally heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
Now present, yes, I do, and I run into the same problems that Robin does, is lesbians aren't that accepting of us.
No.
They say we're sitting on the fence.
Yeah, I know.
We're having our cake and eating it, too. That's what I like about here is I can come here and I can be myself and say what I feel and what I think, but I'm still not as active in the community as I would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to put myself at a two.
Okay.
Ideally, I like to be able to be accepted and be open and be a four.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have a foot in each sector.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I find it's easier to have boyfriends. It was a lot easier to get a boyfriend that knew that I was bi.
Yeah.
They kind of more accepted of it. But with women, it's harder unless you get with one that's bisexual herself or
yes,
something.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have this thing about, oh, you're going to leave me for a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they get, and the last one I had, it was that problem. And we got into a lot of fights because she was thinking that I was going to leave her and all this type of stuff.
Yeah. And that probably eroded the relationship.
Yeah, it physically destroyed the relationship.
Okay, the last one?
Last one is, he said, I quote, is self-identification.
Mm-hmm.
How do you identify yourself?
Okay.
And, yeah, on a scale of 1 to 7. Okay. Right now, again, in the past... Yes, Sarah. Basically, I put myself as one. I
mm-hmm.
really thought that I was straight, and if, you know, every time, if that's how I identify myself, that seemed to be what I was doing. Like I said, see, you know, women, and so, oh, look at her.
Mm-hmm.
Get that attention. That seemed to be where my thoughts were. And it's just gradually that decided that, oh, maybe I might mm-hmm. have some feelings for guys, too. Kind of evolved, came into being.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, but even then, it still was, you know, the internalized homophobia. Still be
sure.
playing tricks on me.
Sure.
And as it evolved, though, I would say in present times, probably a three.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, my basic nature favors being straight. I have a girlfriend, and that right now, that works for me. But there is still that sense of that there's still a desire to have interaction, a sexual interaction with a man. on some level, you know, may develop into a friendship as long as the guy realizes you're a friend. We get together and play every now and then.
Sure.
My primary relationship is with a woman who is understanding, open about it. And,
okay.
Because she kind of gets where I'm coming from. As far as what I consider to be ideal, I guess I'd put that probably, again, about half and half.
Mm-hmm.
To identify as a bisexual. Mm-hmm. You know. And that is something which I feel is evolving as I kind of sort out my own beliefs and what I feel. I mean, part of accepting that I have feelings for men is actually having to go back and reevaluate and rethink about my feelings about women, what yeah. that's all about.
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know, coming up with some stuff there, having to look at it and say, this may not be what I want. Yes, I do. I'm interested in the women. I'm not sure I necessarily want to be interested in this way.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Well, for me, in the past, I put down the five. Because when I was in the workforce, I'm not going to say I was closeted.
Right.
Because my words and actions spoke for me. I never took a woman to a company function.
Right.
If I went to a company function, I went by myself. And a lot of my very close friends who I worked with knew I was gay.
Right.
But it was kind of by omission, I guess. So just the five. And presently, I'm at a six.
Okay.
Because I still want to keep that foot in the door.
Right.
And that, of course, is my ideal.
Right.
I feel I'm at my ideal.
Okay.
I like where I am now. I'm very comfortable the life I'm leading. And like I said, the foot still
mm-hmm.
out there.
Right.
Robin?
Well, in the past, I put two because I identify myself as being straight, but I did kind of admire women and kind of looked. I just kept it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And around my 20s, I was kind of like half and half. Then I was starting to identify myself as liking women, too. And so by the time I got to now, it's half and half. I can identify myself as basically bisexual, like both sides. And the ideal is I wanted to kind of keep it that way because it's kind of more comfortable being in this position instead of just swinging from one side to the other.
Okay. Lynn?
Right.
In the past, I had a three because I had a very strong attraction to females.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, back in those days, you couldn't act on them.
Yeah.
Or if you did, you were very closeted about them, and especially
discreet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Presently, I say I'm a four.
Mm-hmm.
I am out there. I am dating
mm-hmm.
females. Just haven't found that one yet for that
okay.
term.
Okay.
Know? And ideally, I would like to find that one for the long term and keep it on an even keel.
And still remain mm-hmm. in your presence. Relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what do we do with these numbers?
Just use as a reference. They just kind of, we may need to. Because
I've got a lot of sixes on mine.
Okay. Well, it's like I got a note here of something. I did this test myself a couple of years ago, and just looking at them, I say I'm perhaps going closer to half and half when previously, on the idea maybe when trying to go more towards the gay side.
Sure.
But, I can look at that now and realize part of it was just, I'm trying to accept this part of myself and maybe been overcompensating a little bit.
That might
but
be.
As times go along and gain mm-hmm. a better understanding about what feels right, what I want and all, I tend to go more, I'd say, kind of about half and half.
So the idea is, look over this chart and see the numbers that pop up the most.
Right.
And kind of.
Yeah, it's where just
give you an ideal idea of where you are on the continuum.
Right. Since apparently it is probably be a personal vary from person to person, but the actual orientation can vary a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
mm-hmm.
some people, like some guy, he's born gay, he's always been that way, and it works and whatever, and
yeah.
no variation. Somebody else, however, it might kind of vary over time. They might be they're attracted to women for a while, or they're attracted to men, or they kind of go in a flow back and forth.
I'll tell you, I'm 58 years old, and over the years, I've I've come to the conclusion that sexual orientation is more fluid than it is status.
Yeah.
Static.
And,
yeah, me, it's like, I've been met David years back. He probably wouldn't even notice me because he was trying to overcompensate the gay part.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he still kind of do that. And when I first met him, if he would never told me openly, I would have thought that he was gay because he's so comfortable with men.
Oh.
He can go up and, like, ask a guy something or whatever. But with women, he kind of, like, kind of...
get all shy
and shrill.
Insecure.
And with men, he's, like, open and you know... I mean, automatically, if he didn't say anything to me, I would have thought he was gay.
Mm-hmm. Don't you find that you're more open with other females?
No, I always was comfortable with men. Mm-hmm. With men and women. I mean, when I first came out, I was so comfortable with women. You know, and but even before then, I didn't have no trouble going up to a guy that I liked. Some guy would go, my dad cussed me out at church once because I went up to a guy and talked to him, was interested in him. Oh, you don't do that. Women don't do that. They don't go up to no men like that.
So why not?
Old school, you know, old fashioned.
Right.
Women are supposed to sit there and just be pretty and don't do anything.
Right. Well, anyway, we're running out of time here on this segment.
Oh, okay.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Dang it.
We'll start sooner next time.
Yeah. And it's all my fault because I ran over at the very beginning, and so it knocked everybody.
Okay.
Later.
So we got about 10 minutes, 15 minutes left here.
What is Chris doing? I think do you have a headache? Okay. That's why he's holding a bottle of soda on his head.
Okay. All right. So I've got a few minutes. If we could give you a cheap thrill here.
Yeah, I could use a cheap thrill.
Okay.
As a matter of fact,
all we have is one MBB letter. So
okay.
Yeah, yeah. I just all of a sudden I'm starting to get a headache, and this bottle of water is pretty well iced over, so I was just trying to use that.
You know, head on, apply it directly to the forehead.
Right.
Head on, apply it directly to the forehead.
It's like they use subliminal messages to try to get you to buy your stuff.
I'm going to throw this out real quick, that if anybody, you know, listened to this, found it useful or entertaining or was, you know, whatever you want.
Or you hated it.
Yeah, you know, tell us, get the bleep off the radio.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, contact us here, you know, by either KPFT and After Hours, or you like to that email address put out.
What was it?
Byagendaev1.net.
I got to write that down.
Right.
Byagenda. Agenda. At EV1.net.
Right, that's, you know, letter E, letter V, numeral 1.net.
Yeah. By agenda.
And look forward to hearing from people. I don't claim I'll be able to answer back everybody, but I'll certainly read everything. And what people send me, may you'll come up, help provide suggestions for subject matter for future shows.
So, give me a quick thrill here.
Quick thrill?
You brought in something that looked very interesting. What is it called?
Well, the model on the front cover looks very interesting.
Yeah.
Robin, you may be in trouble. basically, I'm not into the BDSM stuff. I'm just going to put that up. But that over here, one of the Hollywood stores or something, I'm not even sure which one I'm at.
Hollywood novelty stores?
Yes.
They had these...
a napkin ring that you attach.
Right.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, basically a napkin ring on a couple of straps, and you wrap it around your...
Penis
and scrotum.
Uh-huh. That's what I can understand. When Lobo was around, all those items were called napkin rings.
Right.
And apparently the guys at Hollywood don't realize you're not supposed to say those sorts of words.
Oh, okay. And you're going to model this.
Yeah, I can do that here real quick.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see how you put it on, to tell you the truth, because it's a rubber ring, and I think I know how it's done, but I need to see it for myself. And of course, we'll be explaining it over the air. Yes.
I was going to ask, do you want to come help me with it?
Ooh.
Good radio.
Yes.
Minus this.
Basically, the device, what he's doing...
It's too bad you can't see anything. It's on the air.
What the device is it's to help a person maintain an erection.
We've got this thing with some rings.
All right, I got two rings, got a big one and a little one. Guess which one I need.
Well, I don't know. Which one do you want to use?
No, I'm not using that one.
Okay.
My voice is high enough already.
Gotcha. Okay,
so, see, this strap comes around here. Okay. That one goes right there.
Ooh. So how do you do that?
Very carefully.
So you're putting.
I got roll the penis back in under the skin.
Oh.
Take one of the testicles, insert it through the ring.
Yeah.
And reach around and pull it through.
Pull it through. And then the other one.
And then somehow pull the other one through.
Without killing yourself.
Right. Right down the first try, and then let the penis pop back out.
Wow. Okay.
And then pull the strap. Let's see.
That would probably be easier if you shaved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. And you don't.
Right.
I'll hold this up for you.
Right. Okay. Pull this around. Okay. Now to do this. Where's the Boy Scout when you need him?
Yeah, I know it.
Of course, that would not. Of course, we get in trouble if there's a Boy Scout in here.
Here I am, kneeling down in front of a naked man.
Again?
Again. Well.
Yeah, get down on your knees and worship your God.
Yes.
Oh. Where's the photographer?
He wasn't here a while ago.
I'm worshiping the God Priapus.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Come on now. I know.
Okay, so you.
That should work.
That has to go up a little bit.
Yeah. There you go.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All dressed up with someplace to go.
There you go.
Okay.
That's an amazing. Now, what do you do with it?
Well, stand here and look at it.
You stand that? Do you wear it like under your clothes and stuff?
I guess you could.
It would come in handy at the nudist parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sure would.
You know, get myself all stimulated and help keep the erection up.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what that little ring.
Right.
Ring will do.
Of course, the straps kind of help do that too, and the straps are there, I don't know, just for show. For So that's
terrific.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Here. Happen to bring my camera with me. You never know when a photo opportunity presents itself.
Oh, okay.
So, get the camera working. Let's see. There we go. Okay. And we're ready to go. Let's see. And
is Robin going to take this picture?
Yeah, she can do that.
Unless you want to take picture. Okay.
Make sure this is working. There we go.
I'm standing next to.
Yeah, okay.
I'm standing next to the model here. You're actually, right. I'm kneeling next to the model.
Yes, okay. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. One more. Yeah, okay. Here we go. Yeah. Okay. All right. There we go.
Thank you. Okay. We'll see you next month.
Okay, if not sooner.
Okay. Okay, let's do the letter.
Do the letter? Letter. Letter.
Letter.
Or leather.
No, it was the letter.
I already packed up.
I'll make a copy and give it to him.
Oh. So, well, okay. we've got some time left. Okay. Before Laura Palooza comes on?
No, this is the first. It's Mr. Schmidt, Fural.house.
Oh, yes, that's right. They're the first, third, and fifth. Ah, stamps. That must be from...
Money.
That must be from Tigger.
Boy, oh boy. For the size queens out here, this is just half of all of
them. How's Tigger doing?
Tigger! Just a second, let me get my... The mics are still on in there.
I just said thank you.
So, okay. Okay, now I'm turning them off. So, I hope this finds you all well. They had a lockdown.
Oh, no.
So,
Oh, brother.
At least it's still July, and he gets everything ready.
Okay.
Because he sent this out July 31st. So, we just... So.
Well,
just under there. He still can't listen to the show. He's hoping to... He's going to try and get moved to another section there. He's going to apply for a college-level trades position.
Oh, good.
So he's hoping that will get him to there.
Mm-hmm.
Which he says he may even try to get to Huntsville because the waiting list is shorter there.
No.
And I know they've got... I know they have some good equipment at Huntsville. I went to a state school, and it's like, you know, they get better equipment in prison than we did.
Hmm.
He's heard news about Lance Bass coming out. It's good. Finally had the courage to say yes for sure. Although the question is timing. Says he's got a show playing the gay character. He thinks it's publicity and financial stunt. But anyway, did anyone really expect Lance was straight?
Not really.
No. He sent in some articles from People, I think, is where they're all from. People Magazine. We're talking about Out on the Range.
Okay. Brokeback Mountain.
But it's the real-life gay cowboys.
Yes.
That he's talking about. And
cool.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of... I mean, that doesn't look like a rancher to me.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like a California rancher, maybe. 31 Jade Bayos. Oh, but you gotta love where... He's a plumbing contractor catering to wealthy residents of Jackson Hole.
Oh, yes.
31 Jade Bayos.
Jackson Hole. That's so rude.
Yeah.
It's so wrong on so many levels.
But he lives there so he can go to Soda Springs, Idaho and work on the family ranch. Cute. Now, flipping through, I'm going, that's a cute guy. But it's Eminem.
Oh.
Where he married his wife that he threatened to kill him several times.
And there's terrific.
A lovely article here on guys' secret body language.
Ooh, I gotta read that.
There ain't much reading, but you know, they're at half-naked guys in pants showing you what poses. I personally do like legs outstretched across at the ankle.
Always have.
Little curly surfer boy there. Does he even give his name? Come on. This is from Cosmo. That's right. Cosmo, it's just one step above Out Magazine.
There you go.
It's like the guys who get Victoria's Secret's catalogs.
Yeah. It's right up there with details.
Yeah. He just received an article, found the articles with actual men to fill the Brokeback Mountain mold. The pages from Cosmo. They keep trying every week, and maybe weather. He keeps trying every week, and hopefully some freaky weather or something will enable him to hear the show.
I hope so.
And that he's confident that we're still doing, and I'll be blessed. TTFN, love Tigger.
Aww. Okay, well, we're getting close to the end. You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on listener-sponsored Pacifica Station, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 down on the island of Galveston.
So,
we'll be back next week with
hopefully
more fun. Christopher, have you talked with him? Black on Black?
No.
Okay.
That's not next week, though. He's third week.
Who's next week? Oh, Diane Rose.
Maybe. Allegedly.
Maybe. Allegedly, yes. And this is not even the D list.
Yes. Maybe she'll be here. Maybe she won't be. Maybe it'll be her season finale. Tune in till next week to find out.
Yes. See what we do with the lesbian segment of this show.
I know some of our people would like to do with the lesbian segment, but...
Careful.
We can't do that on air.
No, we can't. It's time to go.
It's time for a cart. Goodbye.
KPFT's fall concert series is coming up this September and October, and we are looking for musicians to fill spots in six different genres.
The genres are world music, Zydeco Cajun, Roots Americana, Indie Rock, turntables to turntablas and hip-hop.
So if you are a civic-minded artist looking for local exposure, this is your opportunity. Send a copy of your original music on a CD along with the photo, bio, and any other information you would like us to have to www.kpft.org.
Please note that no artist will benefit financially from this event. The concert series is free to all who attend.
Again, those genres are world music, Zydeco, Cajun, Roots Americana, Indie Rock, Turntables to Turntablas, and Hip Hop.
Visit www.kpft.org for more information.
And help KPFT encompass Houston's multicultural, multigenerational, and musical diversity.
This is KPFT Houston, Radio for Peace.
Media in all languages faces increasing consolidation. Critical voices and perspectives are being closed out in the process. For over 50 years, Pacifica has been on the forefront of journalism. From groundbreaking hearings coverage to exposing the My Lai massacre, Pacifica was there. Join KPFT as we take part in the creation of a cutting-edge daily progressive newscast in Spanish. From current debates to news and information across Latin America, Informativo Pacifica is produced in cooperation with KPFK in Los Angeles. Starting August 21st, Informativo Pacifica airs weeknights along with interlingual programming at 11. KPFT currently airs Flashpoints Monday through Thursday nights, but in the coming weeks, you'll be able to hear Flashpoints five nights a week on KPFT's podcasting site, kpfti.org. Don't miss Informativo Pacifica when it debuts Monday, August 21st. You're listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.